Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Plymouth White Marsh, Pennsylvania, home of Plymouth White Marsh High School. And tonight, WSJP broadcasts and brings to you live a Catholic League playoff game between St. Joseph's Prep and Roman Catholic High School, the pride and joy of St. Joseph's Prep. I'm almost speechless now. Bill Abington joins me. This is Rich Hinkles, and I'm almost speechless because this is my first playoff game. And Bill Abington, who is the creator and the founder of the WSJP, the Student Broadcast Club, is at my side here for the first time this season. Behind us is a host of seven or eight young men who aspire to be broadcasters, and here we are doing our first football playoff game, Bill. A great experience, I think, for everybody.
Well, this has been a great opportunity for our guys and an opportunity for us to broadcast our games to our worldwide network of alumni, and we have people listening all across the country. I hear it all the time from people in California. We have listeners in Asia today and Hawaii, so we're very excited to be here. These guys have done a great job. We have a core group of 10 to 12 guys who can come in the meetings and really showing up, and you and Joe Krause, who can't be with us. He's one of our Asian listeners tonight. But we're real excited. This is an opportunity for the prep to get back to the championship game. It was so exciting last year, so I know everyone's kind of looking forward to another rematch with LaSalle.
So to set the stage for this evening, it is about 10 minutes before game time, maybe 11 minutes before game time. Both Roman and, of course, the St. Joseph's Prep Hawks are in the locker room right now. We're going to hand the microphone over to some of the players here, or some of the players on the club, I should say, WSJP members, who are going to give you a little pregame show. It's going to be a circumvented show, a little bit shorter. We had some technical issues getting on the air, but Joe Krause, if you're listening out there, we were able to remedy it, and thus we are on the air. And again, a stage setter. This is a Catholic League semifinal game between St. Joseph's Prep and Roman Catholic High School at Plymouth White Marsh High School in Plymouth Meeting, PA. This is Colonial Stadium. It is about 58 degrees. It's a beautiful evening for football. Lots of people milling around looking forward to this. The far side of the stands is about empty at this point, but we expect it to fill up. And, of course, prep alumni and prep students and prep fans will be below us in the press box. And I'm going to hand the microphone over right now to Steve Bradley. He's going to lead our pregame show, and he's got about 7-8 minutes of information to pass on for this big Catholic League matchup. Steve, it's all yours.
Okay. So good evening, everybody. This is Stephen Bradley with from the St. Joe's Prep Broadcasting Club. And we are here tonight to have a pre-show before the big game between Roman Catholic and St. Joe's Prep for the Catholic League semifinals. I'm here with my partner, Michael Fleur.
Hi, guys.
So tonight, we got some big games going. This is a very intense game going on because this is a big chance for the Prep to go back to the finals and go after that Catholic League title that they were close to winning last year. And hopefully this time it's going to be a big difference. Right?
Got some prep keys to the game, and we need to up the pass. Chris Martin needs to look to up the pass game this week after a weak showing last week versus Archbishop Ryan. We need to slow down Catholic League MVP Division 4A, number 2, Dimitri Kelly. And here is Alex Beck joining me with Roman keys to the game.
Roman's going to have to go out there and stop the high-powered offense that the Hawks have been showing off all season long. They're also going to find a way to get Dimitri Kelly going as he struggled to get yards against the Prep in their first meeting of the season.
Now we have a quote from offensive lineman Steve Robinson. When asked, what is the team's mindset transitioning into the playoffs? Steve answered, the same as it's always been. Work hard every single day and take it practice by practice. Except this time, we'll be even more focused and pay more attention to detail. Another question to Steve. How do you think everyone will be able to forget Saturday and move on? He said, we've already moved on from that game. We can't focus on what has already happened. All we can do is watch film and correct our mistakes and move on.
Of course, Steve's talking about the loss on Saturday to Ryan. Prep was heavily favored, came out sluggish, and they didn't play well. So Steve told us that they're ready to get going on Saturday tonight, and they're ready to come out and play.
This game, Ryan game, is out of their mind by Monday.
All right, thank you, gentlemen. Good job, as always, pregame show. Bring us some information here at Plymouth White Marsh High School. Again, Bill Abington here, Rich Hinkles, and our students. Great job by them. As Rich mentioned, this is our first crack at this, and we're feeling our way through it a little bit, but it's a really great experience for these guys to get on the air, and we only hope to continue to grow the club. Not only have we done almost all the football games this year except last week, and we'll be doing some basketball as we go along. So,
absolutely. One of the things I wanted to bring up real quickly is we got on the air a little bit late, as I mentioned, and as a result, these guys had prepared a pregame show in which they were going to interview somebody of great interest to St. Joe's Prep. Thomas Harrington, class of 1943, was going to fill us in on the 70th reunion, which just took place not too long ago, and they had a list of questions for them, and a very good question. See, these guys are they're curious about what went on way back when. I mean, they're creating their own history now as they go through the prep as freshmen, sophomore, juniors, and seniors, and we've got all four classes represented. But Mr. Harrington was going to fill us with some ideas and make us laugh probably a little bit. Mm-hmm. He will be back next week because we fully expect a winning performance from the prep tonight.
Yeah.
Now, let's talk about that a little bit. We've got two key things to think about. First, the prep comes in at 6-2. Their losses were to Ryan last week and Don Bosco. Now, the Don Bosco loss is not one you can look at and say to yourself, that was a real test of what this team is all about. I think there was a bit of a letdown coming back from the big win down in Dallas, right? And that's 7 weeks ago.
Yeah, absolutely. And they went down to Dallas. It's a very good Dallas Jesuit squad and had an outstanding victory. And so they then came back at the first week of classes. All the coming down from traveling back from Dallas, and you know, these all sound like excuses, but I think they're an explanation. And then we're also Don Bosco's first game. So they were gearing up all summer for St. Joe's Prep, and we have been gearing up for Dallas Jesuit. So I think that was a little bit of a you can throw that away. Last week, I think maybe a little bit more of a question mark. Not sure what that meant last week.
Yep.
Prep against Ryan. Ryan has not traditionally been very good at football lately. And this year didn't make the playoffs. Only Catholic League 4A team did not make the playoffs. So we'll find out what that means. Maybe that was the loss we needed to head into a big winning streak here in the playoffs and beyond.
Well, Ryan started the year like the house of fire. They were 4-0, if I believe right. Now, mind you, that was some out of Catholic League wins and so forth. But that was a team that had a lot to prove. And, you know, a few people said to me, well, playoff, it's key guys. They didn't do a lot. They didn't do this. They didn't do that. But the fact of the matter is they went out and they played very, very tough. And they put the prep on their heels at the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So what's going to happen tonight is a completely different flip-flop. Things have got to change tonight. You got to see the prep team that ran away from Judge, that buried Roman. And actually, they buried Roman, and then they tried to run away from Judge, and Judge got back into the game. This is going to be a real character tester for him tonight. This team comes in, Roman does. Now they've struggled. You know, they're 3-6 overall, 1-3 in the Catholic League. But when you get to the playoffs, Bill, as we saw in the World Series, as we saw in the playoffs in baseball, anything can happen, and that's what these guys are playing for.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you're coming in a little bit with a little bit of doubt, I'm sure, on the prep side after having – you know, really run through the Catholic League season. Lots of win, big win over Wood, big win over LaSalle. Kind of easily handled Judge. And then, you know, the Ryan game was certainly a disappointment. You wonder, you know, this team is a relatively young team. We don't have a lot of seniors out there. So at this point, you just want to see how they can react and respond.
All right, so we've got our captains out on the field now for the coin flip. For Roman, we've got their left guard, Philip Florence. Their right tackle, Mike Joyce, number 54. Brandon Lopez, number 32. James Liebold, number 24. And Tessa Trahan in there as their defensive end, and he is a big force to be reckoned with. For the prep, you've got Juwan McAllister, John Reed, Vince Moffitt, Tom Johnson, all out there. And these are guys that they know what's going on around here. Johnson, the big news is if they win this week, Johnson's going to play next week. That's what they're saying, and he's been dying to get back out on the field.
And that'll be great for the prep. It'll be good to have him back out there, and especially, you know, in the championship game. But obviously you don't want to count on that too much because he hasn't been playing. He's been in a boot. So you don't know what you're going to get out of him physically, especially in a big game like a championship. But you need that kind of leadership, and he's exactly the kind of player you want in a big game. So it'll be good to have him back, and hopefully it will work out.
So after the coin toss, teams are lined up, and the prep is going to receive to start the game. And I think that's a good opportunity for the prep. They need to get out to that quick start. And at this time, we're going to take a moment because there's going to be, A, a prayer, and, B, there's going to be the national anthem. First, the prayer before the game.
Lord, 1. He should have saved game number 3 in this contest tonight. And, of course, the best team can. May what they do here on this field be your honor and glory. We ask this blessing, Christ our Lord. Amen. And now, if you will please take the American flag as the prep band led by Mr. Matt Schwartz will play our national anthem.
Joseph's Prep Band, under the direction of Matt Schwartz, class of 02, leading us in our national anthem. And our student section starting to fill in here a little bit, by about 8 or 9 rows of prep students. And we always know they'll be here. They may arrive late, Rich, but they do arrive.
Well,
the nation will be here.
It's funny you bring that up, because I know there's lots going on the weekends. In fact, I know the prep baseball team, by the way, their fall ball today, they had a big win 8-4. Against a non-school-oriented team down in Newtown Square. Most of those guys were planning on getting out of here. And, you know, I don't know about you, Bill. I went to high school out in Utah, of all places. But I remember that when you were in the playoffs, that's all that mattered to everybody in school. From Monday through Friday, all you talked about was that playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel the same energy, you know, certainly amongst our guys on the club, but also a lot of these guys down there. Let's hope that we see some energy on the field and that the prep can jump out to a quick lead.
Yeah, and it has been interesting. The prep season thus far has been dictated by they haven't really played a full game. They've played great halves, great quarters, and then not really put together a full game. And I'm pretty sure that Gabe and Fozzie would like to see that change. And you'd like to see almost what happened at LaSalle, where the prep came out and just got all over. LaSalle went up big and then kind of had to hang on at the end, but at least they had that big lead.
Well, that's what you've got to do. You've got to jump out fast, because the playoffs are you can't give somebody a chance. As they take the field right now to return the kick, we have a couple of young men stepping in. We've got Justin Del Hosa. He's going to take over and do color commentary and take Bill's microphone. Bill will be back at halftime to give me a break, and Justin, we'll talk to you in a moment. But we got back to receive the kick right now. We got a couple of key people. Alameda Zacchaeus grabs the ball at the 9-yard line, goes up the middle, breaks one tackle, tries to scramble around, can't quite do it. He's pulled down at the 23-yard line, and it looks like the tackle is made by number 55. It'll be Billy Boyle. 55 for 55 for Roman, excuse me, is Kevin McGran. So it'll be first down and 10 at the 23-yard line for St. Joseph's Prep. Justin, real quick, what's going to happen right out of the gates for the prep?
Prep's going to score in a couple minutes. See if it starts right here.
Zacchaeus over the right side, first up to about the 31-yard line. That's a quick clean of 7 yards. Needless to say, it's Chris Martin calling the signals. To his right is DeAndre Swift. You can also see Zacchaeus, Vince Moffitt out there, John Reed in that big offensive line. Right now, Martin in the shotgun. They got second down and 2 right now, the ball resting on the 31-yard line. Martin calling the signals. To his right is Moffitt. He hands off to Moffitt. Nowhere to go. No, he fakes the handoff. He faked everybody, including me. And Martin with the keeper out to the 37-yard line. That was a pretty good slip and slide on the part of Chris Martin.
Yeah, Roman was really expecting it to go to their other running, or to Malamide there, but Martin kept himself One thing I want to point out is on the kickoff, Roman did a squib kick to prevent a big return, and it looked like it was the right thing to do.
Absolutely. So it's first down and 10 now, the ball resting at the 38-yard line. 11 minutes to go here in the first quarter, just getting started. Justin, I'm also giving you the color commentary. Rich Henkel, the play-by-play on WSJP. Swing pass out to DeAndre Swift. It is. The freshman's out for a gain of about 14 yards inside Roman territory, down to about the 47-yard line. First and 10 now for the Prep. So Chris Martin calling the signals as he normally does. Moffitt on his right out. To his right side in the slot is Zacchaeus. Wide is John Reed. And it looks like they're passing out to Zacchaeus. And he catches the ball at the 30-yard line. A beautiful catch and a beautiful pass. Gain of 17 yards to Zacchaeus. Out of bounds, he goes to the 30. First down, Prep with 10:45 to go in the first quarter.
Prep's driven about 50 yards here in about a minute. So.
All right, so first and 10 again. Now ball at the 31. Handoff to Swift up the middle. The freshman tries to muscle his way for a few yards. Can't get very much. He's under a pile of Roman players. Number 26 comes up from the bottom. Brandon Lopez, James Leibold, John Chaney, Al Frazier, they're the key guys in the defensive linebacker core for Roman. This time it's Martin up the middle. He breaks the ball. He keeps going. He's going to go all the way in for a touchdown.
Oh, man.
Touchdown, Chris Martin.
What, did he break about five tackles there?
Wow, terrific run. 27 yards by Chris Martin. Nobody was bringing that guy down. He lowered his shoulder three times.
Looks like Marshawn Lynch out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Great comparison. Great comparison. And that's the quick start we needed. 1 minute and 47 seconds on that drive. That's a great start for St. Joseph's Prep. In for the kick now, of course, the ever-reliable Pat Walsh.
Oh, that's offside.
There's an offside. Absolutely is going to be offside.
It's good anyway, though.
It is good, but they'll have to re-kick it because they blew the whistle before the start. Makes you wonder if Gabe Infante won't go for two because he's only got a yard and a half to get now. Tremendous, tremendous start to the game for the Prep. As with just inside 2 minutes gone, they've already got a 6-0 lead. It looks like it'll be 7 in just a moment. Zacchaeus is the holder. I've never noticed that.
Yeah, they
said Zacchaeus is the holder.
The reason they put him in is because last year in the championship game when there was that muff field or extra point. This one's blocked.
And it's blocked this time. There you go.
Back to what I was saying. The reason they put him in for the extra point hold is they needed speed there in case there was a muff field goal.
So it looks like Al Frazier burst through to block that kick. And that's an important moral victory, I would think, for the Gaelites, right?
Yeah.
All right, so here we are with 10:13 to go in the first quarter, and the Prep jumps out to a quick 6-0 lead. They can't make it 7. We'll find out in the next 3.5 quarters plus whether or not that single point is going to make a difference. Again, let's set the stage here. It is the Catholic League semifinal game between St. Joseph's Prep and Roman Catholic. We are playing this game at Colonial Stadium on the campus of Plymouth White Marsh High School in Plymouth Meeting, Pennsylvania. Rich Henkel is bringing you the play-by-play here in the first quarter. Justin Delahosa, you're what, a junior, Justin?
Junior.
All right. Bringing you the color, and that's the kind of thing you want to bring color to, a first drive like that, huh?
Beautiful.
So we got Walsh set to kick off this time. Keep, we got a couple of the people that we expect to see a lot of this year, or this game, I should say. Back deep, I'm trying to see. That's Hezekiah Trahan. In fact,
He muffed it.
Oh, he muffed the reception there, or the kickoff, excuse me. Goes around the left side. Oh, apparently there's a couple flags on the play. Actually, that wasn't him. That was John Chaney. One of my spotters caught that for me. It was John Chaney, number 3, went around the left side. Penalty flags everywhere, so exactly what he's going to get is going to be determined by this penalty.
Looks like
holding
it's against Roman.
Offense, yeah, blocking the back on the play. So he ran it out to about the 23, but that's going to be backed out a fair amount. We'll have to see where they spot this.
Expect Roman to be doing a lot of run plays to Dimitri Kelly. He's the MVP of the Catholic League.
He was.
That's what I heard.
That's news I didn't have. Patrick Ricord is their fullback number five, and John Chaney is also going to get a fair number of carries. He is number three. So it's going to be first and 10 at the 8.5, maybe the 9 for the Cahillites. Let's see who's calling the signals tonight. There it is, number 16, Brendan Regan, the quarterback here, and he's up under center right now. They're going to try to get a couple of yards of breathing room, I would think, and they do. They hand off up the middle. Not much there. I'm going to guess that was McCourt, but I can't tell till they get up. Yes, it was McCourt, number 5, a 5'10", 220-pound senior. Kind of like a bowling ball going into the line there. Gets a couple of yards.
Yes, if I'm the prep, I'm looking for that run almost every play. It's not a majority of the plays.
Well, they've got a big line. They've got a Philip Forrence is a 6'4", 230-pound senior. They got their center is Ian Ewing, who's a 5'11"-pound senior. They're 220 to 250 across the front line. So you're right. This time the handoff goes to John Chaney. He can't spin away, though. Tackle there looked like Sean Harris in on the tackle. So wide on the left side, Nick Vanderveer, number 4. Wide on the right side now for the prep defense, Rob DeSanto. Boy, he had a great game a couple weeks ago on this very same field.
Yes, he did. Was that his two-interception game?
That was his two-interception game, yep. Oh! The play to the right side, it falls incomplete.
Looks like a screen pass there.
They were trying to do a little trickery, it looks like, and it wasn't going to work. With a third down and 10 is now a fourth down and 10. And this is exactly what Gabe and Fonte wants.
That's a good stop. Now Roman's punting from deep inside their own end zone, prepping a great field position here.
That's right. And number 23, Philip Isaac is back. Philip, two first names. What do you got to say to that, right? He's back to kick, and Olamide Zaccheaus is standing at the 41-yard line of Roman, and that's exactly what they want, him getting a chance to run the ball. But he let it bounce. And it's a Roman bounce and bounces back into prep territory all the way down to the 47-yard line. It was kind of a tough position for Zaccheaus to be in because the ball didn't get much hang time. And when it bounced far enough in front of him that if he moves too far forward and you get a bad bounce, you're in trouble, right?
Yes, you are. If you're Roman, that's perfect. That's what they wanted. Prevented a return, and that's a great kick.
Now, if you're talking field position, you still got very good field position if you're prep, which we are. The ball standing at the 47-yard line, 8:34 to go here in the first quarter. 6-0 prep with the quick first quarter lead. Martin now standing in the shotgun. He looks over the middle, and he goes with a slight slant pass. And it's a beautiful pass, and it is indeed complete.
Justin Monte.
There it is.
Monte had a concussion, I believe, a couple weeks ago.
But now he's back out doing it. That's the kind of thing we need to see out of the guys from the from the bench, you know. Big play for him. Juwan McAllister's looking for a few passes going his way, I would think. He is in the slot position over on the right-hand side with Monte out on the right. And all the action is going to the right. John Reed's got the ball going around the right side. He crushes up over the defensive end. He's going toward the sideline. He gets
there is a
pulled
flag
down. Lots of flags on the play. Tackle made by number 25, Donald Michaels. And looks like illegal motion. Illegal substitution. You don't see that very often.
No. I did see Monte running out. He went into the sideline, and then he had to get back onto the field real quick, so that may have been where it came from.
That must have been exactly what it was. Good call, Justin. Good call. So that's 5 yards back, and that's going to cost him five to make it first and 15 now with the ball on the 47-yard line. 47-yard line of Roman, though. So with 8:09 to go, Prep still in very good position. Again, Martin calling the signals. Standing next to him is Moffitt. I would think they're going to pass again. He's got trips to the right. Nope, they handed it to Moffitt, and he goes around the left side, pinballs his way to about a 3-yard gain. He's pulled down about the 44-yard line, and he is yanked down by number 29, Christian Green, the defensive end for Roman, the 6'1", 210-pound senior on the tackle. Second down and 11. Martin with the ball. Hands off to Zacchaeus, who comes across the middle and breaks through, and he's going to go down the right sideline. He does get pushed out of bounds, and I got to think that looks like it might have been a touchdown-saving tackle by Brandon Lopez, who ran him out of bounds.
That's a great block by the 30. Line. He didn't have to break any tackles. He was just running.
And they pulled. Didn't they pull from the left side?
Yep.
Maybe Mark Ehrlich pulling from the left side? So now it's first and 10, the ball resting inside the 30 at about the 29. Martin looks to hand off, doesn't, keeps it, tiptoes and tap dances, and does everything else he usually does when he has the ball. He makes a gain of about 3 where there was about a yard and a half. And on that keeper, he leaves the prep with a second down and 7. Up from the bottom of the line one more time, the same cast of characters, Brandon Lopez, James Lee Bold, making the tackle for Roman. Second down at 7 now. Martin looking to the right. He's got Zacchaeus, who pulls it down, pulls it in, and he gets pulled down. Good piece of defense there. Wouldn't you agree?
First down.
Good piece of defense there by number 43. That's Sam Payne, linebacker, 175-pound junior. But not good enough to keep the prep, getting another first down. Now they're inside the 15. Martin hands off to Swift. Swift trying to muscle his way in, but that freshman can't make his way in. He gets tackled by the interior line, Ricky Rivera. Oh, that was the Lamade. It looked like Swift. They're both fast. That's the key. They're so fast that my old eyes can't see them. Good catch by my spotters. So second down and 7 now. And it's Martin.
Oh,
he hits Sean Reed in the hands, and he drops it in the end zone. Ouch. David Fonte's got to be shaking his head now.
That's uncharacteristic of Sean.
Mm-mm. And a great pass by Martin. It was right on the numbers, right where it needed to be. So now we got a third down and 7, almost 8, ball resting on the 13-yard line. And again, Martin, he's got 3 to his right, 2 to his left, nobody in the backfield. Flag on the play before they got the snap off with 6:22 to go. And it's going to move Roman back 5 yards. And that's helpful because that means that if Martin wants to run, he only has to get 3 yards as opposed to 7 or 8. So he has a fresh clock right now, 21 seconds ticking away, 6:22 to go on the game clock in the first quarter. Again, 6-0 prep over Roman here. Martin hands the ball off. This time it's going to be
Moffitt.
Looks like
nowhere to go.
I'll tell you what, they didn't call it, but it looked to me like somebody got a hand on a face mask there. He didn't get any yards. In fact, he lost a few yards. In on the tackle, Al Frazier. Moffitt gets pulled down, though, with a loss of
3 yards.
3? Boy, he's lucky he only lost 3, quite honestly. I thought he lost maybe 5 or 6.
Wow, this is surprising. Prep's going for it.
4th and 6. They got a chance here to... They're going for the jugular, trying to get a second touchdown here early in the first quarter.
You think they'd be satisfied with a 2-possession lead?
You would think. Martin, though, changing the play, it looks like. Looks over the middle, and he's got his man, Moffitt, with the play and the touchdown. Beautiful pass by Chris Martin.
Two defenders there around them. Beautiful pass. Nowhere else are you going to put that.
He threaded the needle between two defenders, as Justin DeLosa just told us. And, you know, it was a great catch by Moffitt, too, because he looked around, and that's an easy one to drop. And
yeah,
look your hand.
He had to turn his whole body around.
So there it was,
a
fourth down
two.
Play, and they're going for 2, trying to get back up 14-0. Martin back, and there's not much room to roam, but he is going to try to run it, and does he get in? Does the surge get him in? No. The linesman is saying, no, he did not get in. So the two-point conversion is not successful. And with 5:39 to go here in the first quarter, the prep, 12, Roman, nothing. Justin, that's still a quick start, despite the fact they didn't get the 2 extra points. That's exactly what Gabe Infante has to get out of these guys in the first half.
Roman's had no answer for the prep offensive for passing, running. Prep's just moving the ball down the field.
So we'll see what happens now as they reset the clock. Roman trying to stop the bleeding, so to speak. You have to say this, though, that the prep is taking advantage of good field position. The first drive, they made a couple of quick good long plays to set up a touchdown, and then the second drive was 54 yards, I do believe. That's the kind of drive we need to see and the kind of execution we've got to have. So one thing to remind you of, Roman's only touchdown against us was a touchdown on a kickoff return. So we'll have to see. It was Frazier, I believe, who ran it all the way back. It might have been Chaney. No, it was Chaney. Number 3, John Chaney, the running back. By the way, he is back, one of 2 people back to return the kick. Trey Hahn is the other. This time it goes to number 2, actually. That's Dimitri Kelly.
Bunch of flags.
Kelly gets hit, and there's flags everywhere. Kelly's all the way out to the 20-yard line. And with all the flags, we'll have to see whether that was just to decorate the field or whether there was a real reason behind it. They are talking about it. Block below the knees, it looks like. And that is a very costly penalty because that pushes you back another 10 yards. Right now it looks like they were going to spot the ball at about the 25-yard line. If that moves it back to the 15, they're going to mark it at 21. So they decline the penalty. The first penalty, there was a legal block, and then there was another below-the-knees block, so there's 2 penalties. So the chop block didn't count. They didn't take the chop block. They took the other one. And that
wow, Roman is buried. Second drive in a row where they have had horrible field position.
So Roman's got the ball now at the 10-yard line, first and 10. Hand off there. It looks like Kelly. Dimitri Kelly, number 2, I believe, with the handoff.
One thing I noticed on the sideline is Jay Strain, he was wobbling around there, so we'll see if he's on the field.
Really? I wonder if he must have got hit pretty hard. Kelly had a great game last time against us. He unfortunately didn't find the end zone for Roman. As far as Roman's concerned, it's unfortunate, but he had a very good game. He's a lot of speed. He's the kind of guy that if you give him some open field, he's going to take advantage of it. He's not going to be easy to pull down. He's going to get the ball a fair number of times. Right now, it's second down and 8. Regan going back to pass. Moffitt with the interception. Run down to the 20, to the 14-yard line. You see that coming? You almost saw that faster than I did.
Oh, right too. He looked like a receiver there. I don't know where the quarterback was throwing it to.
Yeah, apparently it was a called play, and the quarterback just didn't get it to the person he was trying to get it to because Moffitt was standing there like a center fielder. So he grabs it and runs it down to the 14-yard line.
With 4:47 left in the first quarter, Vince Moffitt has a touchdown and an interception now.
That's a pretty good start for the senior. Pretty good start for the senior. So out comes the prep offense with 4:47, like you said. Martin's going to take the snap from center. And he's going to fake the handoff, keep the key out, run it himself, and he does get tackled at the 4-yard line. Great scramble, number 32 on the tackle. Brandon Lopez keeps, what does it leave him? It leaves him a second down and 1 at the 5-yard line. Prep looking around. Martin trying to figure out what he's going to do next. He looks down, tells Ed Mooney, here's when I want it, here's how I want it. Snapped out to him in the shotgun. Again, Martin goes by himself down to the 4-yard line. Body's hurtling over the top of the pack. Number 64, Mooney gets up very first, and you have to laugh because he's usually at the bottom of the pile, not at the top of the pile. Tell you what, Steve Robinson, Mark Ehrlich, Ed Mooney, Shane Davis, John Runyon doing a great job up front for the prep right now. Now it's going to be Martin under center at the 5-yard line on second down, or on third down, make that. Reed with the ball
into the end zone.
Flag thrown into the middle of the line, though. That's normally an indication of an offensive penalty. We'll have to see what the call is here. Indeed. Holding on the prep. So 3:57 to play. They'll have to go back 10 yards. And what was a first and goal at the 3 is now a first and goal at the 13. That's a little bit different, don't you think?
That would have helped if there were no flags there. That would have helped Reed's confidence a lot because he dropped a touchdown pass on the last drive.
That's right. Well, that flag went out very fast. There was no question that they saw what they saw, because they threw that even before the prep really had gotten the ball, you know, handed off to Reed almost. So Martin this time with the ball. First and goal at the 13.
Back to Reed.
And it's Reed around the left side. Is anybody going to get him as he goes to the corner? Yeah. A couple guys chase it down. And he still manages to get all the way into the end zone. John Reed with a muscular touchdown run around the left side. I looked like he was stopped dead at the one or the two.
He showed his speed off to get to that spot, and then he powered his way through from the one-yard line.
It really looked to me like Brandon Lopez and James Leibold were going to make the stop there, but they couldn't pull him down. Christian Green also in there trying to stop him, but Reed just powered his way in and got the touchdown.
Yeah, prep, going for another two-point conversion here.
So prep going for two this time around. Behind Martin is Moffitt, and it's going to be Martin throwing it up into the corner. And there's a penalty on the play, so they'll get a second chance on this. But he was trying to throw it up to somebody we don't see out there very often on the offensive end. Ryan McNulty out there. That's good to see him getting a new face in there. You know, McNulty's one of those guys that checks in every game. He plays hard. When he can make a difference, he does, especially on defense. But there he was. Apparently, they were called for a push. Must have been McNulty getting called for the push on the play. So we got three touchdowns.
And 18 points.
But no extra points. 18 to nothing with 3:48 to go. Still a good start, no question about it.
Doesn't look like it's going to hurt the prep the way they're going right now.
So a quick rundown on what we've seen here in the first quarter. Again, Rich Hinkle's with WSJP, the Student Broadcasting Club of St. Joseph's Prep, alongside with Justin Delahosa, our color commentator. Justin, first drive, 6 plays, 77 yards. Second drive, 9 plays, 58 yards. Third drive, 14 yards after an interception. And then 5 plays, set back 10 on a holding call, 13-yard touchdown by Reed. A series of just good execution on the part of the offense.
There.
Yep. So this is the kind of play that the prep faithful was hoping for. A very small crowd. I'm a little bit surprised. I think games happening on Saturday nights instead of Friday nights really has an effect on the size of the crowd. I would also think that it also doesn't have the interest that perhaps a LaSalle game might have.
A lot of people just forget about this game and assume prep's going to win.
Well, and you can't do that. Maybe in this game it will happen that way, but I don't think you can ever do that. Playoff games bring out the best in everybody. Walsh with the kick, and he's going to get it down, and it's going to be received by the up man. That's Patrick McCourt, number 5, and the big fullback goes, catches the ball at the 22, gets out to the 32, and he is pulled down. But a host of defenders on the play. Ball now sitting at 1st and 10 for the Gaelites at about the 32-yard line. And Roman really needing to get something going here. They cannot afford a 3-and-out here. That defense has been out on the field the entire game.
Down 3 touchdowns. Prep does not look like they're going to stop scoring either. So this is a big drive. They need to get on the board.
So Brendan Ringan brings his team to the line. Actually, it's not Regan now. Let me see who that is. Doesn't matter. It's handed off to somebody else entirely. It's number 28. Humza Bazil, 5'4", 150-pound sophomore. Bazil with a pretty good move around the right side. Gets 5 yards or 4, looks like. So a 2nd down and 6. Interesting play. And they're changing things up a little bit, Roman is right now. I would think that there's a lack of little confidence in what was going on with Brandon Regan. So they've got John Cheney. Cheney's playing quarterback at this point. I don't think that's what they expected to have to do this early in the game, but Cheney is taking the snaps. And a big running back this time, he just takes it as the Wildcat. I'm wondering if it's the Wildcat or if he's actually going to play quarterback the rest of the game. He got 5 yards on that play, so it's 3rd down and 2, Justin.
Yeah, if you're a Roman coach, it makes sense. We only have one game, you can't lose.
Yeah,
was working earlier, so why not change it up?
I'm going to ask my spotter, see if he can see Brendan Regan over on the far sideline somewhere, gentlemen. Because right now, taking the snaps is John Cheney, a running back. So, for all intents and purposes, it is a Wildcat. He takes the snap again, 3rd and 2 at the 40-yard line. And he goes up the middle, and he's going to get the 1st down. all the way out to the 44-yard line, first and 10 Roman. That was Dimitri Kelly there. Cheney number 3, Dimitri Kelly number 2. No matter who takes a snap, they still got a first down and 10 at the 44. 1:58 to go. Roman trying to get on the board before the quarter is over. Time to hand off to Cheney. He goes around the left side to the 46-yard line.
I'm curious to see if they'll do a pass play.
This will be interesting because right now they've got a couple of different guys taking snaps, I do believe. What is interesting, most interesting, though, is that Regan is not on the court, on the field. Excuse me. Patrick McCourt coming back out on the field. Second down, 7, maybe 8, ball at 46. Offensive line, Gavin Wiggins, Philip Torrance, Frank Remold, Ian Ewing, Mike Joyce. They're doing their share on this drive. There's no question about that. Second down and 8, taken directly by Dimitri Kelly. And he goes around the right side. And I tell you what, he shook off one tackle, but he could not shake off John Reed.
Prep, it's almost as if a prep is wait for this to happen. This is now about the 5th play in a row where Roman's done a wildcat formation.
So it's 3rd down now. 7 yards to go. We're inside a minute here in the first quarter. Roman trying to get something going. I don't think they're going to throw the ball with this lineup in there. Again, they got 2 running backs, Kelly and Cheney, behind center. This time it's handed off to Cheney, who goes around the right side, but fumbles the ball, and it looks like Prep is going to recover, but we do not know for sure. Stand by. We will see. It is going to be Prep football. Let's see who comes up with the football. And I can't tell whether that was Rob DeSanto or Nick Vanderveer. As Vanderveer gets credit, and Rob DeSanto was in there with him. So big turnover. And with 40 seconds to go, do you think the Prep is going to try to get a touchdown to end up the first quarter by 4 touchdowns?
I think they'll stick with their plan. I don't think there's any rush to try to score before the end of the first.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. So 40 seconds to go, 18 to nothing to Prep up here. As the first quarter comes to near a close, Chris Martin is going to take the snap from the shotgun at his own 45. Fades back to pass, and he's going to find his man wide open. Around it is Zacchaeus with a great catch, turning all the way around like a pirouette, Justin.
That was a beautiful catch. Pretty good throw by Martin, too.
Very good throw by Martin. If he doesn't throw it there, it's not going to get caught. But it was a great catch by Zacchaeus all the way down to the 28-yard line, maybe the 29, 28, first and 10, 32 seconds to go here in the first quarter, 18 to nothing Prep. And a fake the handoff to Zacchaeus. Over the left side. He finds a hole, and he is muscling his way into the end zone. Touchdown. St. Joseph's Prep.
Roman has no answer. Now Martin's second rushing touchdown in this quarter, and both have been powerful, strong runs.
28-yard touchdown run by Chris Martin. I think he's saying, hey, that Ryan game, forget about it. That wasn't really me.
He's also saying, this isn't my last game.
That's even better. Even better. So guess who's coming out to kick an extra point? Pat Walsh.
Maybe they can get one this time.
Let's see what happens. Kick is up.
There
we
go.
Kick is good. And a semblance of normalcy comes upon the field as we finally get an extra point to go up 25 to nothing. 25 is a number you don't often see on football scores.
And if you look at it, Press on pace for 100 points.
23.7 seconds to go, and this has been all St. Joseph's Prep. That drive? And 25 to nothing, Justin. This is the kind of momentum they need to build. I would think that getting to 35 to nothing is a priority. They want that running clock to start as soon as possible, right?
Yes, they do.
someone.
All right, well, I'm joined by Mr. Abington, the founder of the student the Preps Broadcasting Club.
Wow, it's really great first quarter so far as the kickoff goes. Down to the 15-yard line. He follows the ball again. And he's going to take it out to the 30-yard line.
That was almost another mistake there. Prep could have capitalized again, maybe.
Really, Roman unable to get any kind of movement here on the prep line. The prep line keeping very, very strong up front and, you know, just dominating this first quarter.
Yeah, I have a lot of questions about Roman's last drive, too. They did the same play about five times in a row. I don't think the prep confused at all after the first time, maybe.
Yeah, it was a, you know, some good running there. I mean, they certainly had a couple of decent runs, but they weren't able to get that next first down, get the ball across midfield, and prep was able to get good field position again. All right, first down 10 for Roman. And we have a whistle. Timeout, Roman.
Still in the Wildcat formation.
Yeah, Roman taking a timeout here with 18 seconds left in the first quarter. And so we have a timeout. Don't forget, anyone out there listening who is interested in St. Joe's Prep, come on down to our open house tomorrow, Sunday, November 3rd, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. For more information, go to the Prep website, www.sjprep.org/open house. Come see us. You're going to be there tomorrow?
I will not be there tomorrow.
Oh, that's a – well, come anyway, even though Justin won't be there. Come without – come and see the Prep in all its glory tomorrow. And we hope to be back on the air next week if the Prep can hold on to this 25-point lead for the Catholic League Championship, a rematch with LaSalle. But long way to go here, of course. Roman is a decent football team, and they're not going to roll over on the Prep. So we have a first and 10, again, 18.3 seconds left. Ball's on the 30.
Feature Kelly back in the Wildcat.
He's going to take it. He gets through the line for a couple of yards. Maybe picks up two on the play.
I think Roman has no idea what they want to do out there.
I think John Chaney was out on the carry. That's what they are announced here on in the press box.
I'll take it to the end of the first quarter.
And that will do it. Well, an impressive first quarter for St. Joe's Prep. They lead 25-0, and with two missed two-point conversions, a missed extra pointer could have been even worse. 25-0, not a score you're going to see all that often at the end of the first quarter. If you're 25 in the office pool, you win. So, Justin, great job in the first quarter. You have any comments to wrap up your time here?
No, I just hope the Prep continues to play this way.
And you'll be back on for the third quarter, correct?
Yes, I will.
Yeah, Justin will be joining us for play-by-play. He'll be the first student play-by-play broadcaster that we've had on WSJP. No pressure at all.
No
pressure
there
at all. And who are we turning it over to? Okay. I'll give it back to Mr. Henkels. And great first quarter there, Rich.
Absolutely, Bill. Thanks very much for relieving me there for a moment or two. I needed a break to look at some statistics and get my arms around what has really been a blowout on the part of the Preps. This is exactly the start that they needed. Gabe and Fluffy's got to be real happy on the side.
Absolutely. And, you know, you can once try and – when you're the favorite team, you want to make sure you get out there and you don't give them any hope of an upset. So let me turn back to Sue. I'll see you next time.
J.P. McClatchy is coming in now.
Take it over.
JP is going to give us color commentary coming up, but let's start the second quarter. Roman's got the ball and back to pass, or he's not going to get a chance, or is he? No, he's scrambling. He's trying to get rid of the ball, but he can't do it. It looks like Dimitri Kelly with the ball. He goes around the right side, keeps stopping and looking and trying, but can't get a pass off. He gets pulled down, and Kelly at the quarterback gets pulled and lost about 4 or 5 yards. So it's third down and 15. JP McClatchy joining us. You got to do stats first quarter. That's a lot of stats to write down. So
oh, yeah.
Huh?
It's a lot to keep up and everything and knowing who's who.
Absolutely. Well, and besides that, the numbers add up pretty quick, don't they?
Yes, they do.
So we're looking at third down now and about 16 yards to go. The ball sitting at the 24-yard line with the Prep having that 25-0 lead over Roman. No question, Roman's got to get something to happen here. Al Frazier in the backfield along with Dimitri Kelly. And Frazier, no, it's actually Brendan Regan now who does get the complete pass, throws it out to the flank and gets the completion. Regan was not out there the last couple of possessions. Chaney got the pass, took in the reception, and on the third down play, they moved it all the way out to about the 35-yard line to leave them with a 4th and 5. And Brendan Regan didn't play the last two possessions. Do you think he had a chance to look and see what the Prep was doing?
Yeah, I think he had a chance to get a good look at what the prep was doing on defense, make it a better read after throwing that pick the last time he was out there.
Yep. Well, that's certainly what you got to look at when you make a mistake like that. You have to look at what you're doing. You have to consider the situation. And I think there's a good chance the coaching staff over there at prep said, or over Roman said, wait, calm down, relax a little bit. And that's what you need to do in a game like this, time out on the field. That's my guess. That's what they're talking about right now. Let's take our time. Let's take our way through this. We're down 25-0. We can't afford to fall further behind.
Right. Right now, the Romans in the danger zone. If they can't stop the press, and if their offense keeps getting stopped, then they might not come back from this one.
Yep. It is too early to draw any major conclusions, but that is certainly what you could expect to see at this point. So after the timeout, it ends. Again, Rich Henkel's doing the play-by-play, and J.P. McClatchy of the Student Broadcasting Club giving you the color commentary here in the second quarter. We're at Colonial Stadium in Plymouth White Marsh, Pennsylvania, or Plymouth Meeting, Pennsylvania, Plymouth White Marsh High School. A great, great evening for football, especially if you're a prep fan right now because your team is up 25-0. So there's the snap, and Regan back to make the pass, and it's not a good pass. It's incomplete to Dimitri Kelly, and it's going to be another turnover on downs. Trey Smith was the guy that they were trying to get that ball to, it looked like, but it was not to be. The prep takes over on the 35.
Great feeling position for prep after a beautiful stop by their defense. The prep could really put this game out of reach with another score.
That, indeed, is what they're going to shoot for. Again, when you get ahead by 35 points outside the first, second, or third quarters, they go to a running clock. And I would think that's what Gabe Infante would love to do, get a lead big enough to where a running clock is instituted. That way they don't have to be on the field quite as long. First and 10, Chris Martin with the ball. Looks to the left, decides to keep it himself, and goes right up the middle. He's been successful so far. 5 more yards for Mr. Martin. This has been a good game for him, huh?
Yeah, he's been running really well right now. He has been taking a lot of the load running, and they've gone to Swiss a lot less this game. Second down 5 from the 30-yard line. Martin throws, and it is caught.
Touchdown. Oh, my gosh, what a tremendous catch.
At first, it looked like the ball was underthrown, but somehow it made the catch.
Jawan McAllister turned around and caught that ball. It was a beautiful throw by Martin, as you called it out so adroitly there. And McAllister muscled it away and rolled at the 1 yard line. It looked like to get into the end zone.
Yeah, he made a great effort getting the end zone. That's like a top 10 play if he had that.
A beautiful play. Beautiful play by Chris Martin, who's just having a great game. The extra point is no good, and they are snake-bitten on the extra points. Am I right?
Yeah, it's coming back to haunt them. They can't get anything going. They look like the Temple Owls this year. You can't make a field goal for their lives.
So 10:07 to go, and the lead is now 31-0 for the Prep. That was an improbable drive because you didn't expect it to go as quickly as it did. 2 plays, 35 yards, Jawan McAllister with the touchdown pass from Chris Martin, and Martin's statistics for this game were just tremendous. He's running the ball. That just started out with a 5-yard run up the middle, and of course that sucks the cornerbacks and the defensive backs in so that he can go over the middle and have a Jawan McAllister one-on-one with somebody.
Yeah, that's where his dual threat ability really comes into play. You can catch defenses off guard because they don't know what to expect.
Yep, I think that's absolutely accurate. Absolutely. So we got Walsh back getting ready to kick now. And he's getting probably tired, I would think, at this point. He's had enough kickoffs already.
Yeah, but really nothing to complain about concerning the score.
I think you're absolutely accurate on that. Absolutely accurate. So deep to receive the kick. It's going to be John Chaney and Dimitri Kelly, and the ball goes right. And it's going to be – actually, it's not Kelly. It's somebody else, I think. And, oh, what a hit. Big hit there. Number 85 comes in and makes a huge hit for the prep. Great tackle. Zachary Goss, the sophomore wide receiver. Boy, when you get your chance to play, you got to take advantage of it. And Mr. Goss did there.
Yeah, he delivered a punishing hit to the receiver. He wished he never caught that ball.
Yes. You know, kick returning is a dangerous occupation anyway. When you get hit like that, you realize it.
Yeah, especially when the defense has a running start.
That's it. Absolutely. So it's first down and 10 now for Roman. And it is taking the snap now. That was, I think that was Frazier. Although they have been swapping people, getting the ball on the snap. It looked like Frazier. He went over the left side, got 7 yards going over the left side. They've been doing a fair amount of different people taking snaps. Frazier's taking a snap. John Chaney's taking a snap. Dimitri Kelly's taking a snap. And the quarterback, Brendan Regan, is also taking snaps.
Do you think they're losing confidence in Regan?
Well, it's hard to tell what they're doing. I think, obviously, they've thought through what they can do. They've got to do something. Dimitri Kelly going over the right side there, not getting anything, is it going to make this game change directions at all? In that case, it was Frazier getting the snap, handing off to Kelly. Regan, of course, is over on the sideline somewhere watching the game. He did come in the last possession, but he wasn't here for most of the end of the first quarter. With 9:04 to go here in a second, they're looking for a solution, and in comes Regan on the game.
Regan in for a third down and 3 from Roman zone 27.
So it looks like the prep trying to get a lot of people in the game. Jake Stram just came off the field. He had a little bit of a limp, but who knows, maybe he's just tired at this point because he's been making the most of the time that he is on the field. Ball right up the middle there by Frazier. And he does manage to get the first down. He's up the 31-yard line, first and 10, Roman.
Yeah, they haven't thrown in a long time. Regan came back in. Doesn't seem like their game plan is changing any.
Well, it'll be interesting to see whether they continue to rotate their quarterbacks, Wildcats, running backs, and everyone else. I mean, there you have it again right now. It's Al Frazier taking the snap in the Wildcat. And he's got Kelly, and he hands it to Kelly. Kelly goes over the left side, doesn't get anything. He's buried underneath. Among those people involved in the tackle, Dave LaPorta, Tom, and Ryan McNulty, both in the middle. Number 45, Joe Dumont, Armand Ware, also in on the tackle. It's a little bit of gang tackling right now for the prep. As soon as the ball goes up the middle, they've got guys like Kelly and Chaney getting tackled pretty quick.
A lot of guys are soaring to the ball, but at some point you think Roman's going to have to pass if they can't run much to death that easily.
And passing hasn't worked with Vince Moffitt and John Reed patrolling the outer reaches of the offense, that's for sure. So here's the snap, and it's Regan back to pass. He looks over the middle. He does find his man, and it's Patrick McCourt. McCourt barrels his way into what appears to be first down territory. It is. Out to the 47-yard line, first and 10, Roman.
Well, if you need a way to forget about the interception, just get to your big fullback. He'll get short hands.
He did. He caught that ball, and he turned downfield, and, you know, he took a couple of quick steps and then lowered his shoulder and got enough for the first down. 7:21 to go, 31-0. St. Joseph's prep over Roman here in the second quarter at Plymouth White Marsh High School. Handoff is faked, and it's going to be Frazier up the middle, tries to get a couple, doesn't even get past the line of scrimmage, or does he? Yeah, they give him a yard. It's a good spot. They give him a yard. Kelly's been neutralized. In the first game against the prep, Kelly had a pretty good night.
Yeah, he was a workhorse. He got, like, almost every carry. I thought he'd be tired after that.
Mm-hmm. I thought he'd keep trying to run the ball. I thought they'd come back with the same kind of game plan, but they're not. So, at this point, we got Jake Stram and Joe Dumont getting down low, trying to make something happen. Snap is coming to Frazier. Frazier hands the ball off to Chaney. Chaney around the left side, but he's hammered. Pulled down in a hurry. And by who? McNulty again. And McNulty's coming around. That tackle was on the right side, and he came all the way from his left-end position to make the play.
Ryan McNulty has been a defensive force this year. He came out of nowhere. It's been all over the place. It's really impressive.
So McNulty's playing a great defensive game. As is DeSanto, he's playing tough as nails. Moffitt, Reed. You know, the only guy we haven't heard much about is Dylan DeJulius, and the reason why is because nothing's gotten that deep down the field to where DeJulius has had to make a play. So here's the snap, and this time it's Regan again. He throws the ball over the middle, but he throws it in the middle where nobody is. The ball lands helplessly at the 39-yard line. And that 3rd and 9 becomes a 4th and 9 with 5:50 to go. So Dolius, by the way, number 41, the last time we were with you on the air, he had gone off with a concussion. I spoke with his father in the parking lot before the game, and apparently he passed all tests with flying colors, which is why he is back. He actually missed a week of school, but he must have done okay because he got his academics taken care of, and you can't get on the field if you don't have your academics taken care of.
Exactly. If you can't do well in school, then you're not going to play.
So fourth down and 9, and Regan goes deep, and it falls incomplete. And the Prep is going to take over on downs at the Roman 43-yard line.
He threw that little
interesting play that they didn't play.
Yeah, they threw that a little too far this time, and the Prep set for great fielding position again.
So at 5:45 to go, Rich Henkel's bringing you the play-by-play. J.P. McClatchy, the color commentary for WSJP, Student Broadcasting Club of St. Joseph's Preparatory School in downtown Philadelphia. The Prep leading 31-0 over Roman in this semifinal Catholic League championship game. DeAndre Swift put the handoff, doesn't get anywhere. Hey, that's a pretty good tackle there by Philip Forrence. Swift didn't have anywhere to go. We haven't seen his number called at all tonight.
Yeah, he's been quiet tonight, but they haven't really needed him.
Well, it's funny when you're up 31-0 and you've been able to do anything you want, you can take your time and you can. I would imagine we're going to see a fair amount of Jim Bell in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Looked like a penalty on the field.
Personal foul
on the Cahillites, and that is costly because they had a stop at the line of scrimmage, even a loss of a yard, and now they're going to lose 15 yards. That's a poise question, don't you think, JP?
Yeah, they cannot shoot themselves in the foot like this one. Nothing else is going right for them.
So the ball is now on the 29-yard line, and the Prep got it with a first and 10. 5:33 to go. Prep with a chance to take an even bigger lead and perhaps a big enough lead. Where, oh, there he is, bursting through the middle is who but DeAndre Swift. For more than first down yardage, it looks like a 14-yard gain on the play.
Swift left the Hurst call now, and he got a 14-yard gain.
Right up the middle. Martin now takes the snap, and Swift again. Swift bouncing around, looking for a hole, can't find one. Gets about a yard and a half, maybe two. And a tackle underneath there by the Roman D. Couple folks in on the tackle. Christian Green, Ricky Rivera trying to put some holes in the line there for the Roman defense. Martin taking the snap, gets up closer to Ed Mooney and says, now let's do something different. Now he looks over and says, Sean Harris, where are you? And then he throws it deep and he finds his man, and it is a touchdown. Again, a magnificent play. Apparently they found the magic combination. With Jawan McAllister in the corner of the end zone.
A double dip for Jawan McAllister. He gets the second touchdown on a fade pack. That was a beautiful play.
I think what's going on here is he's seeing the isolation. He's seeing the one-on-one, and he's saying, I can get it to McAllister. He's going to be open. I just got to throw it up there. And that's exactly what he did.
Yeah, and he also has advantage with his vertical, so he gets higher than nobody else.
Absolutely correct. So Walsh this time gets yet another extra point. And with 4:43 to go, the Prep with a 38-0 lead over Roman. Certainly not what you would expect or what you would have wanted if you're Roman.
I didn't really expect this game to really be that close considering the last time Prep played them. But you thought Roman would play a little bit better than this, but things just haven't gone right for them.
So that touchdown play ended a four-play drive. It lasted about a minute. And, of course, that personal foul by Roman, that's just killing. You know, I think that it's just got to be in their heads at this point.
Yeah, it's just unacceptable at this point when they're down by this much and they had a chance to maybe get a stop on that drive.
So we're going to see a lot of different people on the field in the second half the way this game is going at this point. I would think that the running clock will start pretty soon. The rule is that as soon as the lead is 35 points, they start a running clock. Now, I don't know if that applies to the first half, but it certainly applies to the second half, which means this game could be over in a hurry. If it proceeds this way.
Yeah, it can be. The Prep came out firing, and they haven't let up.
So the kick now. It goes deep. That's going to be Kelly with the ball. Kelly goes around the right side. No, it's not Kelly. It's number 29. I'm telling you, they're taking advantage of this chance to get some additional people in there, too. Number 20 is Christian Green. He goes around the right side. Now it's 26, not 29. Marcus Wright. And 28.
They're really confusing us with all these changes.
Well, that and I just don't know the team very well. I'll admit that. At 4:36 to go, it's the ball resting on the 32-yard line. And Roman trying to make something happen. They need something to happen in a hurry here. Dimitri Kelly is behind quarterback. And, again, it looks like McCourt is next to him. Hand off to McCourt, goes through the left side. He gets 5 or 6 yards. And he is pulled down by Dylan DeUlius, it looks like, 41. Again, he was out last week with a concussion, but he looks like he's in pretty great shape right now. Good tackle by him, a second down and 6. 4:25 to go in what is a very quiet Colonial Stadium because everybody is a bit stunned by the 38-0 score at this point. Roman, second down and 5. Handoff now to McCourt. Same play as before. Over the left side, and he gets another 6 yards, and that's going to be good enough for a first down. But another penalty, and they are all over the place now. And I can tell you right now that this is not a pretty scene. It is not a pretty scene. It looks to me like number 54, Michael Joyce, lost his temper just a tad and pushed one of the prep players under the pile for the prep, a couple of players. I'm not sure who is involved in the fracas. I only know I did see number 54, Joyce, pushing some people around, and the personal foul is against Becca Heli. And that's really costly because guess what? They just had a first down and 10 after a 6-yard game.
Roman's really killing themselves lately. They had a first down, and then they had an unacceptable and unsportsmanlike conduct penalty. And if they got their spirit, their confidence out of them, the last try probably will. This doesn't help at all.
Yep. So the officials are congregating, and they're going to count back the yardage. Looks like 15 yards, and after you've just gained a first down, then you have to back up 15, and you're having trouble just keeping your wits about you, which is the case right now. This is not the kind of thing you need to have happen. Ball now resting at the 28-yard line, 4:07 to go. Roman badly trying to find some way to stop the bleeding, so to speak, at this point.
They'll have to find something quickly because it's getting out of hand.
Well, it is definitely out of hand. I think they just need to, if they can find a way to score or at least hold on to the ball. Another penalty as the flag goes into the middle of the field, of the scrum, I should say. McCourt with the carry, I believe.
Number 5, Patrick McCourt on carry.
I wonder what this could be.
And it's face masking against the prep in this case. The officials have a tough job here because both teams are going to be a little bit feisty. Roman out of frustration, and of course the prep just reacting to that frustration.
Yeah, Fred was not going to let up, and Roman is very enthusiastic about it.
Well, what happens here is a first down, though, because face masking, of course, is a personal foul. It's 15 yards and a first down. So a big play there for Roman, as it turns out. Gets him out to the 46-yard line, 3:55 to go here in the second quarter.
We'll see if they can make anything of this.
It's the opportunity is theirs. Ball is snapped, and it's going to be Kelly. But he's corralled down by a couple of prep players.
Another run by Roman. Prepper pretty much has stacked the box if they wanted to, because Roman has only had maybe one pass in the past couple of drives.
Ed Reminter comes in there and makes the stop. Number 21, the junior linebacker, seeing some action now. He came in behind the line of scrimmage and yanked down the ball carrier, second down and 11. And again, they've taken their quarterback, Brendan Regan, their typical quarterback, out of the game. Chaney, Dimitri Kelly, Al Frazier have all gotten a chance to run the offense at this point. That time it was Kelly handing off to Patrick McCourt, the big fullback. He gets 1 yard back, so it's third down and 10 with 2:59 to go. They're kicking inside 3 minutes, and this is really the only chance they have. They're now calling a timeout, an official timeout. This is really the time that Roman's got to find a way to either hold on to the ball for a few more minutes just to get the poise back, because I can imagine it's going to be a tongue-lashing in that locker room.
I agree. If they want to find any glimmer of hope. They need to score somehow on this drive so they can put up something and stop the bleeding.
So, just had to... like Dirks was down for a moment or two, but he's up and he's moving. Brian Gee, the trainer with him, as he walks off, doesn't look like he's any worse for wear at this point, which is a good thing. David Fonte puts his headset back on and says, let's get back to business, guys. 2:55 to go here in the second quarter. The prep up 38-0 over Roman in a Catholic League semifinal game.
Dirks happens to be in my Spanish class this year.
Dirks is?
Yes, he is.
I don't know. Can you blame him? He should be, right?
Yeah, he should be. Well, I'm in Spanish 3 because I took art the first year, so I'm in all class with juniors.
Oh, good. Good. So you get to meet guys like that when you know?
Yeah, exactly. He said a couple rows over from me.
Have you really? So they just got 5 yards on a penalty by prep. So it looks like a little timeout through the prep off timing-wise. Third down and 5. One of the good things about the curriculum at the prep is that you do get to maybe take classes with kids that you wouldn't see otherwise. You can't matriculate always in every school up multiple grades, but you can at the prep.
Mm-hmm.
So the snap now, and it's going to be a handoff to Swift. Swift goes up the middle, and he's going to be all the way into the end zone, it looks like. Yes, indeed, a big touchdown play of 49 yards for Dimitri Kelly. Big play. Boy, he found a huge hole, and he took full advantage of it.
It's just what Roman needed right there. They finally get it all on the board and find something positive to look at when they go into halftime.
That is exactly what this is. And, again, what made that happen? But the 15-yard face mask. That's what made that happen, because otherwise it would have been the ball turned over on downs or a punt on the part of Roman. But you get that 15-yard penalty. It gives them new life. They took full advantage, a couple of runs up the middle, and then that burst by Dimitri Kelly, 49 yards, and it's 38-6 now with 2:22 to go. And they're going to go for two, it looks like.
You can't blame them after being down by so much.
And this time it's going to be McCourt, who was looking to be in the Wildcat. A timeout is called by Roman. Well, it'll be interesting to see what they come out with. So we're looking at 2:22 to go. You're listening to WSJP, Student Broadcasting Club of St. Joseph's Prep. It is a Catholic League semifinal game. 2:15. Drive took 2:15, 49-yard TD by Dimitri Kelly to get Roman on the board, 38-6, the score at this point.
Since we have a moment, I'd like to give a shout-out to seniors Chris Larkin and Greg Ernst, who have been to every prep home game this year, helping lead the student section. They've been giving great support.
Good.
Thank you for that.
Absolutely. I think all the students have been very, very representative of the spirit you get in that hallway as you walk from class to class, too, right, JP? McCourt with the snap on the two-point conversion, and he barrels his way into the end zone. It looks like he's 2 yards into the end zone and gets it for the extra point. And he gets something that the prep haven't been able to get, a two-point conversion to close the gap to 38-8.
That could have not been a better drive for Roman. Getting a touchdown and then a two-point conversion is just what they needed to feel they have a chance.
So we are closing in on halftime with 2:22 to go, and certainly the prep has the lead that they needed and wanted, 38-8 the count. But you've got to think that the second half they want to bury them that much more quickly, get the running clock going and save some gas in the tank, because you're aware of the final score last night, LaSalle, right, against Judge in the other semifinal?
Oh, yeah, LaSalle destroyed Judge. Judge thought they were ready to play LaSalle, but they just got steamrolled.
So the winner of this game plays LaSalle.
Yep, it's
next
a
week.
Flashback to last year.
Absolutely. That's what the prep's looking for, and they'd like to play as quick a game and as few plays as possible in order to make it all pay off. So here's the kick coming out. It's going to go, and we got deep, a couple people. We got Alameda Zacchaeus, but they go for the onside kick, and it is recovered by
Roman.
No, they're going to give it to the prep. They're going to give it to the prep. It looked like it was going to go to Roman because they did catch it going out of bounds, but apparently they must have been out of bounds, and the ball is going to be recovered at the 45 and placed there, where the prep will take over first down and 10 with 2:19 to go. Got to hand it to them, trying to get something extra going here in the first half when you're down this far and going to the extra point.
Yeah, it was a gutsy call, but they have nothing to lose right now.
Sure. Agreed. So Chris Martin is leading the offense out onto the field for St. Joseph's Prep. And he's got all the people you would expect him to have right now, DeAndre Swift behind him. And it's a handoff to Swift. It goes right up the middle. Oh, my. Around the left side, down the sideline, tries to stiff arm the last remaining body behind him, which was John Chaney, but Swift's stiff arm didn't quite do the job on Chaney. He gets run out of bounds inside the 40-yard line with 2:13 to go now. The ball resting on the 39, first and down Prep. It looks like they're going for the jugular, JP.
It looks like it. Swift had a great run there.
Hand off to Swift again, and he is grabbed by the ankles, and that was a very good tackle. Very good tackle by number 65. That's Philip Forrence in the middle making the stop there. That was a really good tackle on his part because Swift, if he breaks a hole, he's gone.
Yeah, nobody can catch up to him. His speed is unmatched.
So Martin now looking at a second down and 9. They're spreading things out a little bit, a couple of other players in the ballgame. But they handed off to Moffitt, who was in the backfield. He goes around the right side, all the way down to the 32, maybe the 33-yard line. Or they spot it now at the 34. He's on the far side, by the way. We're looking at this game, and the Prep is going right to left toward the snack stand, if you're familiar with this environment here at Plymouth White Marsh High School. Colonial Stadium is the place, the ball game. St. Joseph's Prep versus Roman in a Catholic League semifinal game. So third down and 5. Chris Martin calling for the ball. Looks back at the sideline. Tries to see some signals. Gentlemen, what do we want to do? He asks the question. Backs up again after tucking to Mr. Mooney. He's going to snap it to him. Ball comes up to Martin. He looks over the top, and he misses DeAndre Swift, who was wide open on the left flats. No, it was Amadei Zacchaeus. Excuse me. That 1 and that 7. How many times am I going to make that mistake before the year is done?
A lot of times, because those are the two guys that get the ball the most on the Prep offense, and you just can't tell sometimes.
That's right. Thank you. Thank you very much. That's right. So here we go. Fourth down and 5. 1:32 to go. Martin calling for the signal. It's three guys wide to his left, two guys wide to his right. Everybody looks back looking for signals and signs. They're changing the play as they go. And a pump fake there. Oh, and a pass by Martin over the middle, and there's really nobody there. He tries to find, it looked like Zacchaeus, but the pass just fell idly to the ground. And with 1:29 to go, it gets turned over on downs. That was a less than stellar performance by the offensive St. Joseph's Prep.
Yeah, it wasn't a very good play call, and they turned over on downs as a result, giving Roman a good fielding position with 1:29 left in but they only have one timeout, though. See what they can do with it.
Well, they certainly have some momentum from that last drive. There's no question about it. And I think we're going to see Dimitri Kelly getting the ball once or twice because he went up the middle for 49 yards the last time they had the ball. And this time Brandon Regan is going to throw the ball over the middle, and he's got his big fullback, McCourt. And don't let these guys get back into it. Don't let them get back into the game. All the way down to the 47-yard line where the ball is spotted, and Roman's back in business, 1:23 to go. Quarterback Regan looks confident now with a bit of a butterfly of a pass, but it found a spot. Now he goes out to the left sideline, and he finds his receiver there, and he's wrestled down by Rob DeSanto with the tackle, gain of maybe 3 yards. 1:07 to go, second down and 7.
Short throws like that can quickly regain QB's confidence, and I think that's what we're trying to do right there.
Yep. The handoff this time is McCourt.
Handoff to number 2.
Nope. Kelly. Timeout. Timeout on the field now. And, you know, they look more businesslike, and when you're in a situation like this, you have to be businesslike in order to let that discipline play out, right?
Right. It's all hands on deck right now.
Good way of putting it. Our halftime show, by the way, coming up, a couple of gentlemen who you heard earlier, Michael Fleur and Steve Bradley, will be leading the halftime show. A lot to talk about, obviously, because Prep has a 38-8 lead. let's hope that they can hold on to that lead. Do you expect the ball to be passed, or do you think they're going to try to go around the outside and let Kelly try to make some space for himself? He is pretty quick. The 6 foot, 200-pound junior is shown a lot when he's had a chance to get some open field.
Yeah, I think I see them passing right now with only 52 seconds left, but they can go either way, really. With the run has been pretty successful. Kelly's a machine.
That's Regan who's going to have to do the passing. If he's out there, he'll be the guy, but he's not. Right now, they don't have him out there, which to me, like, Kelly is in the shotgun, and to his right, immediately to his right, is McCourt. Kelly takes the ball, and he goes around the right side. Penalty flag on the play. Kelly trying to go around the right for a first down, but he gets stacked up short of the first down, it appears. Among those involved,
holding on Roman.
Holding on Roman. Involved in the tackle, Alec Dirks, among others. It'll all be a moot point, though, as they go back 10 yards, assuming Prep accepts the penalty.
Good to see Dirks back in the game after getting banged up a little bit.
That's right. Penalty against Roman, very costly at this point. They needed to keep that momentum and get into the end zone one more time. Inside 47 seconds to go, they're back now to a 3rd and 16 here in the second quarter of the ballgame. It's the snap to Regan, who's back at quarterback again. This time he throws it over the middle and it's picked off by DeSanto. He's going to go around the left side. He's got some blockers, makes a couple nice moves. He is pulled down from behind. John Chaney with the tackle. Might have been a touchdown-saving tackle as DeSanto brings the ball all the way back to the 50-yard line.
If you had to be given a defensive MVP for the past 4 games, this is DeSanto. He's had 5 picks in his last 4 games right now. He's been a threat on defense. He's been a ball hawk.
And they gave him a really bad spot because he was all the way up the 50-yard line. When he fell on the 50, and they spotted the ball between the 48 and the 49. 29 seconds to go. I think Roman's going to go into pre-bet D. Chris Martin brings the offense out, and boy, I'll tell you what, if you can get a touchdown here to wrap up the first half, you've really done something. I don't think that's what they're going to do. It looks like they're stacking things inside a little bit, but let's see what happens. Vince Moffitt behind Martin. Moffitt gets the handoff, goes up the middle, gets 5 yards to about the 45-yard line, maybe 6 yards. He is inside of Roman territory, but the clock is ticking away, and that's going to be the last play of the first half, I would have to think. Indeed.
Yeah.
They call the prep offense to the sideline. David Fonte says, circle up, guys, and you'll let Roman run off the field. And as the first half ends, you heard it, 38-8, the Prep Hawks over a Roman in this semifinal Catholic League game. JP, the second quarter, more of what we saw in the first quarter. This is the momentum that Gabe's got to build going into the Catholic League championship game. Should they win tonight, that's where they'll be.
Exactly. And Roman had its first offensive touchdown against the Prep this season with that 49-yard by Kelly. Their only touchdown was the 90-yard kickoff return a couple weeks back.
Well, Chaney was the one who ran that one. And you're right, Kelly's the speedster that they've got to rely on. We'll have to see what they can pull off. Rabbit out of the hat is what they're going to need, right?
Oh, yeah, big time one.
So we're going to hear from you again when? In the third, fourth, or postgame?
I won't be here. I have to leave.
You have to leave early. Well, you want to give a shout-out to anybody who might be listening?
I want to give a shout-out to the guys who are actually in the student section tonight. We don't really have a very big one, but a few of my friends who are down there leading it. So I want to give a shout-out to them. Thanks for giving the support.
All right. JP, thanks very much. Have a good weekend, and go Prep, right? So the score is 38-8. We're going to bring in the halftime crew in just a minute. In the meantime, I'm going to bring in Bill Abingdon. And Bill, of course, he is the creator of WSJP, the Student Broadcasting Club. And these young men are stepping up, and they certainly have a good game to watch and extend our season one more game, huh?
Absolutely. And, you know, calling me the creator is a little bit of an overstatement. Without you and Joe Krause and, you know, you guys have been really the driving force. And so we're very lucky to have both of you involved, and thank you so much for all that you've done and getting these kids on the air. We're just talking to some parents down below us here who know we're on the air, and they listen, and they really enjoy the broadcast. So well done. Good first half with the broadcast, and we'll bring out in our halftime crew.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we've got, right in just a moment, we're going to have several gentlemen, Michael Fleur, Steve Bradley, Alex Beck, a few other folks. Justin DeLosa will be the first student to give you play-by-play in the third quarter, and he's been looking at the rosters and looking at the flip charts. He knows every guy that much better than I do at this point, and we'll have to see what he can do at the mic better than I can do. So your score right now, 38-8, the Prep leading Roman. We're at halftime here in Plymouth White Marsh High School in Plymouth meeting Pennsylvania Colonial Stadium. Quick shout-out to Joe Krause, who is in China right now. Joe, of course, one of the co-moderators with me, and he's the guy who owns all this gear. And you know, we had to scramble a little bit, but Joe, if you're listening out there, we couldn't have done it without you
right. Emotionally. Absolutely. We missed Joe, and we saw his value earlier today when we were all up here on our iPhones trying to figure out what the heck was going on. And Joe instinctively knows that. So sometimes you realize the value of someone when they're missing. And, that happened today with Joe. But we're hoping you're listening overseas. And, hope the season can continue and we can get Joe back here with us in the city championship or Malvern, one of those games down the road.
Absolutely. All right, well, let's get a microphone on.
All right.
Michael Fleur is going to go first, I think. I'm going to hand him the mic. And, Bill, why don't you bring these boys on and let's get our halftime show en route.
All right, thanks, Rich. And we are at halftime, as Rich mentioned, 38-8, Prep leads Roman Catholic in the Catholic League semifinals, bringing in Mike Fleur from the Prep. Mike, what are you seeing? You were on the Roman sideline?
Prep sideline.
What were you seeing down there?
Chris Martins had a fantastic game, 2 running touchdowns in the first half. In the first quarter, John Reed with the run, running touchdown, Vince Moffitt had a passing touchdown and an interception in the red zone. Pass attempt was blocked, though. We're not getting too many point answers.
Conversions have been a little bit difficult. If there's anything you could say after a 38-8 first half, is if that's the worst thing that happens, that we've had with some struggles on the extra points, that's okay.
Yeah. Rob DeSanto had a big fumble recovery. And DeAndre, I'm just looking to see DeAndre Swift getting more carries in the second half.
Yeah, I think we'll see. You know, obviously, Coach Infante is going to have to guard against being complacent and not, kind of going for the jugular. But you also know you got to play another game next week, and you want to make sure you get the other guys in the game.
Right.
So what are you expecting in the second half? You think we'll see a lot of Jack Clements and some other guys off the bench?
I think Jack Clements will be in either start of third quarter or mid-third quarter. And we're going to see some sophomore quarterbacks rotating in.
The energy level, I'm watching the game, the sideline really seemed very excitable. The coaches really seem into it. Did you notice anything different from the other games you've been at?
Yes. Well, this is more important game, semifinal, PCL, and other games when I was on the sideline. There were 10 games, first game of the season. They're excited, but this is just such a big deal that we need to get this big win.
Right. And so great job. Thank you. Thank you very much, Michael. And we'll have you on, I guess, after the game, right?
Yes.
All right, thank you. We'll return to Alex Beck, who's been doing stats here in the booth with us. Alex, got to give Alex a shout-out. Alex and Brendan and Dylan, who are also our Prep Twitter guys. And I know when I'm not able to make the games, I try and listen on the broadcast, but I also follow the Twitter. You guys do a great job.
Thank you, Travis.
So you've been up here, just an incredibly dominant first half for St. Joe's Prep. The last few minutes, Roman was able to get back in the game a little bit. Not really back in the game, still down 30, but score a touchdown, get a little momentum. What are you seeing?
I'm seeing Prep defense coming out. They're playing strong. They're not letting the run go anywhere from the Catholic League MVP, Dimitri Kelly. He can't seem to get anything going. They're trusting Brian Regan. Regan, quarterback, not very high right now. They're taking him out. He's not playing a lot. I expect Coach Infante to come out and play hard for the first part of the third quarter. He doesn't want to repeat the LaSalle game where LaSalle was able to come back in the second half.
One of the things I think, or one of the knocks against the Prep so far this season, is we really haven't had a full game where you put together all the games. Dallas, a big second half. Wood was a big second half. LaSalle was a great first half, three quarters, and in the fourth quarter we held on. I think we need to see a full game performance. I think that's what the coaching staff would like to see.
I think Coach Rapine is actually going to keep Martin out on the field for the first part, that third quarter, maybe get a couple more confidence, get that score a little bit. They don't want to go for the jugular and make this. They don't want to try to embarrass anyone, but they need to make sure they come away with the victory.
Absolutely. You don't want to do that, you know, obviously. Also, you need to play for next week in some respects. You know, not that you assume you're going to win, but with a 30-point lead, you're relatively confident things are going to go well. You don't want to have anybody injured for the championship game.
Yeah, I agree. I think Jack Clements is a very good backup quarterback. I think he'll still be able to run the offense, maybe less with the running aspect, but his throwing, I think that he has the same touch as Martin. I think they'll be able to still run the offense pretty well with him out there.
And, you know, that's a difficult balance of a coach, you know, where you have a guy like Gabe Infante, who's an outstanding football coach, but now you're balancing the needs of make sure you get the win here, but also you're preparing your substitutes, your bench, to make sure they can get in. And if you have an injury to Chris Martin down the road, Jack Clements is ready, but you also want to make sure you don't lose the opportunity to win this game.
Yeah, I think that, and the same with the running backs, they're going to need Jim Bell to come out. Jim Bell needs to get some carries, get some experience. They might need him next week, you never know.
All right, Alex, thank you. We're going to bring Chris Tagliaro in. Chris is a sophomore at the prep. Chris was on the Roman sideline, I believe, right, Chris?
Yes, I was.
All right, well, I'm guessing a very different attitude and excitement level on their sideline. What's going on?
It was a bunch of quiet people. They're all kind of leaving the stands and a little disappointed after a poor performance by Roman offense and defense.
Now, things got a little chippy there in the second quarter. A lot of pushing and shoving. I think Roman has had at least three personal foul calls.
A lot of big penalties are hurting them.
Are you hearing anything from the coaches? Are they angry at their players? Are they involved with them and all of that?
They're disappointed with their players because they're already down by so much that they should be really focused on trying to get back and not with this push and shove game that they're playing.
So you're sensing the frustration over there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How about your thoughts in the second half? I mean, the balancing, you obviously now have a prep team that, you know, is confident, relatively confident they have another game.
Mm-hmm.
But you also have a Roman team that has nothing else to play for. They'll probably play on Thanksgiving against Roxborough normally. So what do you do? What do you look expecting to see in the second half?
I expect to see a lot of the prep backups and second string and third string players just coming in just for playing time, and maybe Roman makes this a game, but I don't think so.
Okay. All right, Chris, anything else for the game or anything you're looking forward to in the second half?
I don't think so.
Okay. Great, Chris. Thank you so much for being here. Good job over there. We'll see you after the game.
All right.
Chris Tagliaro from the Student Broadcasting Club. We are at halftime here at Plymouth White Marsh Field, Colonial Field here at Plymouth White Marsh High School. The prep leads Roman Catholic 38-8. Just a dominant first half for the prep. They went out to a big lead in the first quarter and have hung on. Really the dominance we're seeing is on the offensive and defensive lines. The prep offensive line is really protecting Chris Martin, giving him time to throw, opening up huge holes for the running backs. And then the defensive line is really not allowing much of anything from Roman Catholic. The game was really 38-0, but Roman scored a late touchdown 2 minutes left in the second quarter that kind of gave them any kind of shred of hope of accomplishing a comeback here. I'm sure the Roman coaches are trying to build on that the second half, but really this has been all prep tonight. And the winner of this game gets to move on to play LaSalle College High School. And if it's the prep, it'll be Prep LaSalle, another rematch last year's outstanding championship game that went to overtime. Unfortunately, LaSalle won that one. Prep looking for another opportunity to get at the Explorers, their arch rivals. Prep won the regular season matchup here at PW just about a month ago and hoping to win two from LaSalle, move on to play in the city championship game the following week. So we know if the game is on, we will be back on the air next Friday or Saturday, whenever the game is played. We are hoping at St. Joe's Prep that this game will be played next Saturday here at PW. Both LaSalle and the Prep use Plymouth White Marsh as their home field, so it is not an advantage for either team, but the hope is that the game will be here. Of course, Catholic League makes that decision, not the Prep, so we will play wherever we are told, obviously, but hopefully the game will be here. Beautiful facility at Plymouth White Marsh. We're so happy to be able to call this place our home field, and great people at Plymouth White Marsh who take good care of St. Joe's Prep and make sure that our games go off without a hitch here. So we're always happy to be playing our games here. Roman Catholic is taking the field. I'm surprised they're coming out so early, about 4.5 minutes left. I suppose their coaching staff didn't have a ton to say to them in the locker room. I don't know what you really could say to them because obviously the prep dominated in the first half, and just really had very little they couldn't do against Roman in that first half. Offensive and defensive lines really kind of bullied Roman's line. And Chris Marr was outstanding. He's responsible for four of the touchdowns scored today. He had two rushing and two throwing. Juwan McAllister also had two touchdowns. So right now the prep is looking good as we head into the second half, 38-8. And another prep score would be in the rolling clock, which would be helpful and get this game over as quickly as possible. Again, to try and prevent injuries, try and prevent giving Roman any kind of shred of a thought that they can come back and win this game. I think that's going to be major. Roman will get the kickoff to start the second half as the prep started off. I think it's really important the prep comes out in the first half, beginning of the second half, and establishes itself, gets a three and out, gets the ball back, and really doesn't give Roman any ideas of a comeback. So we are live here on WSJP. I'm Bill Addington. I'm here with Rich Henkels and a number of students from the Student Broadcasting Club, and we are bringing you all the playoff action, prep football here from Plymouth White Marsh. And we're excited to be here. Good student section turnout. You heard JP say, not as good a turnout as some other games, but a nice turnout here for a beautiful Saturday night at Plymouth White Marsh. We are having the prep open house tomorrow. Anybody interested in learning more about St. Joe's Prep, want to learn more about our football program, come to the open house tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. For more information, go on www.sjprep.org/openhouse, and we will see you at the prep. Rich Henkels coming back on the air here.
I didn't know you were going solo there, Bill.
Oh, I could talk for hours.
Well, that's a personal thing, I'm sure. And his son is sitting here nodding his head. Isn't that true? Yeah.
But just a dominant first half. I was just saying that the offensive and defensive line is really dominating Roman's line.
I think it hit the nail on the head. You know, the offensive line for the prep is really stood up solidly. Where you see that, I think, is the gaps. I mean, Chris Martin found holes that you could drive a truck through.
Right.
Vince Moffitt found a couple of huge holes, and that's what those big guys are doing. And you know what they're doing is they're standing up. They're standing up the defensive line. You know, Steve Robinson, Mark Ehrlich, Ed Mooney, Shane Davis, John Runyon, they're standing up the defensive line. And that's not a small defensive line.
Right.
You know, Roman's defensive line is 210, 285, 180, and 250. Now, with the exception of Kabir Bazile, these guys are big dudes.
Right.
And the prep line is holding them up. And the other thing that's happening that's beautiful is Martin is checking off and taking advantage of the one-on-ones. Juwan McAllister gets two touchdowns in the far corner away from us. And they are one-on-one matchups. He sees it. He makes the call. They make the play. That's the stuff that's all working together.
And making the pass, I mean, Chris Martin, who, as we say, a veteran signal caller for the prep, and he is throwing the ball where only the prep receiver can get it. So really not a lot of they're not high-risk passes. I mean, they're low percent. I mean, if the pass isn't going to get caught by Juwan McAllister, it's going out of bounds. So he's really done a nice job. And I will say that the wide receivers have run nice routes. They've moved around. They've gotten ahead of defenders. Really impressive first-half performance. And you know, you talk about the offensive line. The All-Catholics came out this week. Steve Robinson, Shane Davis, and John Runyon, all on the All-Catholic team. I think John was the only first-teamer. I think Steve and Shane were the second-team All-Catholics. So, you know, there's three All-Catholics in that front line.
Yep.
And two of them are juniors, which really is saying something. So, you know, we were just talking, the students and I were mentioning that, you know, the big key in the second half is keeping the momentum going, but also working in some of the bench, giving them some experience, and warding off the threat of injury, because you know you have another game and a big game.
Yep. I think we're going to see Jim Bell a fair amount in the second half. We're going to see Jack Clements, I'm sure, in the second half. And I would not be surprised to see Clements throwing the ball a little bit, because I think that's what Dave's got to find out, if he's got a backup quarterback who really throws the ball well. But I agree with you. There's going to be a lot of balance. We're going to see it all. And they just stretched the halftime by three additional minutes. So we've got a few more minutes to fill, but that's the kind of stuff that's going to happen. Now, let's replay. You know, this is very similar to what we saw in week four, you know, when prep won 42-7. The only difference being that the prep let up on defense a little bit there in the second quarter, I think. They had that penalty. And that face mask penalty was the reason why they had the chance to score the touchdown they did. And I got to credit in Demetri Kelly. He saw that hole, and boom, 49 yards later, he was saying, see ya.
And, you know, it's the worst thing that can happen is you give this team a thought, even a minuscule thought, that they can come back. You definitely don't want to do that. They're going to get the ball to start the second half as the Prep received the kickoff. So I think it's urgent on the Prep to get a real three and out, or, you know, at least no more than one first down. Keep the ball down in their zone and, you know, get decent field position and get another touchdown. Get that clock rolling so in the second half again. You don't want to give this team anything, any chance of coming back. This is not a bad football team. They've had a decent run so far this year, so you don't want to give this team. And you said earlier the pregame show, this is the playoffs, and teams show up differently, and talent you know, shows up. And we saw that in the first half. The Prep really stood up. But you don't want to give them an inch. You don't give them an inch, and then, you know, pretty soon you're like the LaSalle game. You're holding on for dear life.
And the other thing you've got to pay attention to, and I don't think this is absent on Gabe, Infante, the running clock starts, and you're up by 35. And, you know, they score a touchdown, and they go up by more than 35. Mm-hmm. That running clock starts, and you can get your starters off the field. Game moves faster. You don't have your guys out there and a chance to get hurt or anything like that. I mean, you know, what happens if somebody gets hurt? Because you're not putting your foot on their throat, so to speak.
Right.
You really got to close the door as fast as you can. Add that touchdown, get things moving. You're right, Roman's going to get the ball back. They have to keep Roman from scoring right out of the gate for the sole purpose of trying to end this game as fast as they can.
Absolutely, and, you know, the Prep defense, you know, you have to, it's a balancing act for, I think, a head coach between, you know, trying to win the game, but also trying to conserve your team, conserve your stars, to make sure that you don't have any injuries and all things. So, that, I mean, that's why you pick Gabe Infante, the big box, to be the head coach, and he's an outstanding head coach, and he knows what he's doing out there. But I want to, you know, it's not easy. It's not cut and dry. You say, well, just do this, do that, and that's going to be the successful thing you need. So we just see what happens. Again, I think we'll see the stars for at least the beginning of the third quarter, try, as you say, kind of go for the jugular. And there's no pulling back. This is a playoff game. This isn't a Pop Warner Sunday afternoon game. This is a playoff game Saturday night, big-time high school football. And, you know, you got to score.
And it's being it's on the radio worldwide.
Worldwide.
It's on the radio. So, you know, people,
bigger than any
of you better believe it. They're listening in China.
That's right.
So, ladies and gentlemen, Rich Henkels, along with Bill Abington from St. Joseph's Prep, and you're listening to the Student Broadcasting Club. No, Bill and I are not students, but we're going to bring on two students, and we're going to do something we have not done yet.
I'm a lifelong student.
Of life.
Student of life.
Of life, and many other things, I'm sure. And so am I. I did not go to the Prep, but I'll tell you what, I'm very, very proud to have a freshman and a junior at the Prep. And I look forward to many stories they'll tell as time goes on.
Yep.
We're about to start something we've never done yet, and that is we're going to have a Prep student and do the play-by-play, and another Prep student do the color commentary.
Full student broadcasting team. This has been our goal all season long, and, you know, either they've had you or Joe Krause doing the game with them. So this is an opportunity for them to step up and really show us something. And, you know, big moment, big moment for the club, but also big moment in Prep football. So these guys are, you know, going to do a good job, and I hope we'll be listening.
All right, give that headset over to Justin Delos. Justin's going to give us the play-by-play, and I had to talk Justin into this. He was a little bit shy, but I said at some point somebody's going to have to take the mic from me and the mic from Joe Krause and be the play-by-play guy. Justin, put that microphone a little closer to your mouth if you can so people can hear you really clearly. Bottom line is you're going to do a lot of talking. The other guy who's coming on, I'm going to hand him my headset in just a moment, is Jack Rayner. I had to wake Jack up a moment ago. He was yawning here during the halftime show, getting a full dose of rest in. So, Justin, good luck. Have fun in the third quarter. I'll be listening, standing right by. I'm handing my microphone to Jack. Score again, 38-8. We're starting the second half. Roman has the ball. Good luck, gentlemen.
All right, so Justin Velosa here, junior at St. Joe's Prep, joined by Jack Rayner. He's a sophomore at St. Joe's Prep. So, Jack, what do you think of the first half?
Thanks, Justin. I'm Jack. I'm going to be bringing you guys the color. And I think for the second half, we're going to see a little more of the same from Prep, but not to the same extent. I don't think they're going to score 38 points because they're going to be putting a lot of backups in. Like, we expect to be seeing Jack Clemens and maybe even a little bit of third-string quarterback Kevin Shaw in the second half.
And off to Jim Bell, running back. So here we are, prep kicking off. Pat Walsh on the kick. And number three, John Chaney on the return. Takes it out to about the 30-yard line.
See, it does appear...
The Rebel will have it at the 30, first and 10. Once again, 38-8, prep winning.
Have 11:52 on the clock here. As we wait, Roman is in the huddle. We're signaling first down. Everyone is waiting. Ball is spotted, and Roman is taking the line.
So we have number two, Dimitri Kelly in the Wildcat formation. Roman did a lot of that at the in the second quarter. What they did in the first quarter wasn't working. So, Jack, what's your take on the Wildcat?
I haven't seen Roman run the Wildcat, especially when they played in the regular season, but they have to change something up. So I think any type of change from the first half will be good.
Well, it looks like it worked there. Got an 11-yard gain, first and 10 on the 41 now. Kelly back in the Wildcat. And a flag down.
Flag on the play.
Looks like a false start on Roman. And it is a false start. They'll be first and 15 on the 36-yard line.
Legal procedure, Roman Catlett.
Actually, legal procedure, not a false start.
First down.
Still see some starters on the Roman defense, like Rob Sanchez and John Reed at cornerback, and Vince Moffitt at safety. We'll see how long they stay in the game.
So once again, Chaney in the Wildcat formation.
Run up the middle, pushing the pile.
Big run. Actually, Dimitri Kelly there with the run.
Dimitri Kelly on Perry.
Seems to be about 11-yard gain. 12-yard gain, maybe. Second and three.
13-yard gain, actually. Takes it out to about 49-yard line.
That is why he was MVP, his ability. One of the reasons was his ability to push the pile, as he had the nice 13-yard rush there, which seemed out of nothing at the beginning of the play.
So, Roman, it's a second and three now on the 49. Roman needs to score quick here. Down 30 points. Big run. Kelly, oh, man. Oh, my gosh.
That a huge hole. He's got to beat Reed, and
oh,
he wrapped him up.
Down to the 18-yard line, and there's a flag on the play, so let's see what that is. But what a run by Kelly.
Flag on the play.
So Kelly in there on the Wildcat. Busted right through the middle and then took it to the outside. Big game. We got to do the flag at first. Personal foul on the prep. So he's first and 10. Roman even closer to the prep goal.
Result of the play, first and goal.
I tell you, first and 10 on the 9-yard line. A huge run by Dimitri Kelly. Once again in the Wildcat formation.
Wildcat appears to be working for Roman right now.
We have number 16, Brendan Reagan, back now. The shotgun. And he takes it as a quarterback draw, and he's in for a touchdown. So touchdown, Roman. 38-14 now. That's what they needed, a quick score, and they got that. 10:18 on the clock, minute and 42 seconds drive.
Yeah, no prep was up. 30 points coming into the second half. They did not want this to happen. They did not want a quick score to give Roman just the slightest chance of hope.
So Pat McCourt there with the touchdown run. Now Roman looks like they're going for two, as they should, down by 24 in the second half. They need to get these points.
Roman to try for two.
Prep has stacked box. About 8 men in the box, 9 men in the box here.
So McCourt back again. Another draw. And he's in for a two-point conversion, 38-16 now. The score is. So, Jack, what do you think of that drive by Roman?
Well, the Wildcat clearly worked there. Prep was not ready for it. They were attacking them up the middle with multiple running backs and a fullback here in Pat McCourt. And Prep was not prepared for this coming into the second half, and they drove right down the field in about a minute and 40 seconds and scored a touchdown.
Now, what I'm interested to see is if Roman tries an onside kick here, what do you think about that?
I don't think they have a choice right now. They're down by,
really?
what about 22 points? And Prep's offense has not been stopped this game, so they really have to stay with what they did on offense there.
John Reed and Alameda's kids back for the return. Won't be surprised if Roman, if they don't do an onside kick, if they don't kick it to them to prevent a big return. That last drive for Roman was 5 plays, 70 yards. 35-yard touchdown, or 35-yard run by Kelly with a big play on the drive. 9-yard touchdown run by Pat McCourt. And a minute and 34 seconds they did that drive in.
Onside recovery by linebacker number 21, Ed Rementer. He's a junior.
Now the freshman got great field position here. So curious to see. You think they'll run it, or you think they'll try big play, try to get them back on the board?
Well, their style is to run the ball, so I think they can run the ball to run the clock down while still being effective and being able to get that big play, because they have such effective weapons like DeAndre Swift, who's on the field right now, and Alameda as well.
So Chris Martin back, shotgun. Keith in motion. High snap. Marquise himself. Oh, he still breaks the tackle. What a good run by Martin. Picks up about 9 yards.
Wow, that was an amazing run by Martin there. He met Brandon Lopez, number 32 linebacker, on the line of scrimmage, and he just barreled him right over and got another 8 yards.
Now we have second and two on Roman's 45. Kraft looking like they can put together another great drive. Doing a pass here, and Martin breaks a sack. Eddie.
Oh, way.
What?
Oh, my.
Chris Martin breaks.
Wow.
Great to tackle. It would have been about a 10-yard loss, and he gets out of it, throws the ball, tipped by Roman defender, and caught by number 18, Juwan McAllister. Now, the first and 10 for the prep on Roman 30. And that would have been a big turn of events there if Roman had picked off that ball.
Wow, it would have been quite the game, turned into quite the game if Roman would have picked that one off.
Now, DeAndre Swift, the run, picks up about 5.
Run by number 7, freshman DeAndre Swift.
He is very fun to watch. I was talking to some of the kids on the track team at St. Joe's Prep, and for his age group, he is fourth in the country at the 100-yard dash, so he is just about as fast as it gets.
That's another weapon for the prep. That is incredible. Now we have second and 5 on the 25-yard line. Chris Martin back. That's a pass play. Marcus to the end zone. John Reed overthrown. Now 3rd and 5 on the 30. And Jack, do you think prep doesn't get this first down? You think they'll just go for it?
I think you have to take some faith in Pat Walsh here. I think he's a quality kicker, and I think they need to take the 3 and go up by more.
Yeah, it'd be about a 42-yard kick if they can't get this first down here. So now we have 3rd and 5 on the Roman 25. Vince Moffitt in motion. It looks like a timeout.
David Fonte on the timeout there.
Timeout prep.
Timeout.
Now, if you're Roman, you came out the way you wanted to, and now you're letting the prep drive back on you. So maybe if prep does score here, Roman, they score quick, then I think you have to go back to the onside kick. It doesn't look like they're stopping the first offense at all.
Yeah, they're down by so much, and they're just down by so much. It's the playoffs. You have to lay it all on the line. They cannot kick the ball down the field and give Alameda or DeAndre Swift or Vince Moffitt or whoever they put back there a chance to return for a touchdown.
So now 35 on the Roman 25, 9:06 left in the third quarter. Once again, prep up 38-16.
Wide 5 offense here. Martin in the shotgun.
Pivotal third down. Chris Martin back by himself. 3 wide outs to the right, 2 on to the left.
Manning up on John Reed here. Let's watch out for that.
Looks like it's going to be a pass play, so that's good. Martin back. Pass to John Reed, and Reed drops it. Wow, that is uncharacteristic of John Reed. He dropped a touchdown earlier in the first half, and now he dropped what could have been a first down here. So now it brings up 4th and 5 on Roman 25. Prep looks like they're going to go for it. It seems like the wise thing to do. 42-yard field goal is a big one here. So I trust in Fonte with this decision. Now, once again, Martin back by himself. Three wide out to the right, two to the left. Martin goes big. And to Kaye. Oh, man. A little underthrown from the Kaye. It was in the end zone. Would have been a touchdown, but you can't blame the Kaye there. The ball was underthrown. So now we have first and 10. Roman with the ball on the 20, on the prep 25-yard, or on their own 25-yard line. So, let's see. Looks like they're going to go back to the Wildcat, but we have to wait.
Yeah, slightly sporadic throw there by Chris Martin. Olamide ran right down and split the cover two in half. He had a wide, he was wide open for a touchdown, Martin, just a couple yards short.
Yeah, I don't think Roman was expecting him to go to the end zone there. He was expecting to try to get the first down. But
yeah, they only needed 5 yards, and Roman was not expecting them to go for it all.
So, Meteor Kelly back in the Wildcat once again. High snap. Kelly catches it there. And he picks up about 2 yards.
Dylan Deulius, defensive back on the tackle there for St. Joe's Prep.
Once again, Deulius had a concussion. He did not play last week, but he's back out there.
Yeah, he and Vince Moffitt had sustained a couple injuries, though. Vince Moffitt came out of the game last week with a shoulder injury, but he's back today.
Another injury on the defensive side was Jake Strain. He got injured in the first half. Not sure how he's doing, though. And Kelly, once again, the Wildcat. Picks up a couple yards. He got a first down and more. And he's still on his feet after a spin move, breaks a couple tackles, and takes it out to about the 49-yard line. A huge run by Dimitri Kelly. About a 23-yard gain. He's first and 10 on the 49-yard line.
And to add on to that, the prep injury news, actually, this is positive news for prep next week. Junior, defensive back, and running back, and also captain, Tom Johnson, is expected to be back should prep continue on and win this game and face LaSalle in the championship game next week.
That'd be big for them. There's a lot of energy to this team. So here we are. Kelly back in the Wildcat. Hands it off.
Here's going to be a 3-yard gain.
Hands it off to number five, fullback Pat McCourt, who had a touchdown on the last drive.
He's very stocky, Pat McCourt, at 5'10", 220 pounds. The fullback is just busting right through the young prep defensive line, and prep doesn't have a formula for stopping him right now.
As a senior, he was going to do anything it takes to win this game. He does not want his high school career to end here. So Kelly back in the Wildcat. Big game. And he gets the first down. And there's a flag on the play, so let's see what that is.
Flag on the play.
Dimitri Kelly again, just busting through the line, getting a first down.
Yeah, the prep Wildcat, it's almost always a run play. I'm really surprised that they're letting them break this many yards.
Ooh, another face mask on the prep. This was the problem that led to Dimitri Kelly's long touchdown run last time. So their defense is committing too many personal fouls, not just offsides, 5-yard, 10-yard penalties, but the personal fouls are just killing them.
Yep. Penalties are always kill teams. So what would have been a first and 10 on the 39-yard line is now a first and 10 on prep's 24-yard line. Rome is threatening, and there's still plenty of time left here. 7:30 left in the third quarter, and they look like they're poised for another touchdown here. Hands it off to McCourt, and he picks up about 6 yards.
And again, Pat McCourt, their prep is just stuffing the box. And this was a similar problem against Ryan last week. Ryan's offensive line is the biggest the prep had faced. They overpowered him, and especially their running back, Samir Bullock, who I thought, in my opinion, was one of the best running backs in the Catholic League. They just powered right through them, pounded them up the middle.
So we have second and 4 on the 18-yard line. Roman threatening. Dimitri Kelly, the Wildcat. And he hands it off to McCourt again. And looks like he's just short of the first down. About a yard short. Breaking up 3rd and 1 on the 15. Now, if Roman, if they don't get the first down here, they're guaranteed to go for it. There's no reason not to.
Yeah, they have to go for it. They can't kick field goals. That would they would still need the same amount of touchdowns to get back into the game if they kick the field goal here.
So here we are, 3rd and 1, the 15. Kelly back in the Wildcat, kicks it himself, and he picks up the first down. Let's see if he got it or not.
Pierce, he got it, yeah.
Pierce, he got it. Barely got it. 2 yard gain there, just enough. So first down. Now, first and 10 on the 13 yard line. 6:12 left in the third quarter. Once again, Justin Galoso alongside Jack Rayner.
That was, Demetri Kelly almost broke that one off for a touchdown.
Yeah, I thought he was going to break it into the end zone. That's why I just assumed he got the first down, but Prep actually stopped him pretty short. So Kelly takes the snap. He's running it, and he picks up, looks about 5 or 6 yards, and it looks like the ball came out. Prep celebrating. It appears they have it. Let's see what the officials say. Let's see, no call yet. Let's see. Looks like Roman still has it. That would have been huge. Because Roman's threatening. They're about to put up 6 points, and that would have changed the whole outlook on this game.
Wow, so it appears they gained.
Yeah,
that helped the benefit of them.
So we have a first and goal on the 2 yard line.
With DeSantos and Reed out wide at quarterback, but I think they are not. They're gonna have little effect on the play. They're clearly
gonna
run
play here. Demetri Kelly bobbles the snap, picks it up, breaks a couple tackles. And he's thrown out at about the 9 yard line. And it looks like it's going to be a late hit. Let's see what the call is. Looks like it's going to be a late hit.
That is just a silly play by the St. Joe's Prep defense. They had him for a loss of 6. He was well out of bounds, and they just threw him down to the ground.
Let's see what the call is.
It appears that it has to be unsportsmanlike conduct on the prep here.
Or a late hit. Let's see that. Personal foul on the prep.
That's the fans' boo here. They don't really have that much to boo about. That was a blatant foul and not one that Coach Infante appears to be happy about. He's livid on the sideline.
So now we have a first and goal on the 5 yard line.
Stacked up there and stacked up there, 3 men behind the line.
5:23 left to go in the third quarter.
Ref checks the spot of the ball, so have a little slight stoppage in play. Another 5 yards to run.
So Pat McCourt back in the Wildcats. He takes it, and let's see if he's in. Hey, he's in.
Yep.
Touchdown, Pat McCourt. His all 220 pounds has been barreled his way into the end zone, and now we got a ball game here, 38-22. Wow, this is a big turn.
And it appears that Roman should go for 2 here, because if they were to convert on this 2-point conversion, it would put them down by 14 points.
Roman is going for 2.
And again, Pat McCourt seems to be the formula for this prep defense. They're stacking the box against him, and he met the pile at the line of scrimmage, and he just drove into the end zone, and he wasn't even tackled. He didn't even fall into the end zone. He ran right through the back.
So it was a 38-0 lead at one point. It's now a 38-8 at one point. It's now a 38-22. And now Roman going for 2. Demetri Kelly back in the Wildcat. Andros McCourt, and he's in for the 2-point conversion. 38-24, 5:13 left in the third. Plenty of time left for Roman to come back.
Wow.
This is crazy.
St. Joe's Prep needs to get something going right now. They need.
So a few minutes ago, we were talking about Roman attempting onside kick, and now with all this time left, I don't see a reason for them to attempt an onside kick.
Wow, yeah, this is not. I did not expect to see this coming. I did not expect Roman to come out with this kind of fight in them, and Prep just seems like they came out of halftime saying, we do not need to try to win this game. We have this game won, and it's really playing against them now.
Yeah, a lot of times the teams get huge leads. They tend to back off a little bit and try to waste the clock. And I'm not saying the Prep was doing that, but they didn't come out, as you said, with the same intensity that they did in the first half. And Roman, they have all the momentum right now. Our fans are dead quiet. They're going nuts over there.
See, if they were to kick, it appears that they're going to kick it long here to either Alameda or Alameda or John Reed here. So we'll see what happens with that. Nope, they kick an onsider. Recovered by Juwan McAllister on the play, recovering.
That last drive for Roman was 10 plays, 75 yards. McCourt touchdown run. and now it was a 3:38 drive, and now it's 38:24. Once again, Justin Melissa alongside Jack Rayner.
Yeah, 5:12 left in the third quarter here. It was 38-8 coming out of halftime, and now Roman scored two consecutive touchdowns, one with a two-point conversion. Now we have a two-touchdown ball game. It's getting pretty interesting here at Colonial Stadium.
Yeah, first and 10 on the prep 48. And flag here. Looks like offside. Once again, 5:10 left in the third, 38-24. St. Joe's prep with the lead over Roman.
See who jumped here. It appeared to be Roman.
Oh, it is offside.
Encroachment.
On Roman.
Encroachment on Roman.
So it'll be first and 5 on Roman's 47. Prep with great field position. They've had great field position all night. That's part of the reason why they put up 38 points in the first half. Here we are. Continues behind Martin in the I formation. Martin trying the hard count.
You have Reed, Moffitt, and Swift out wide on Moffitt's right side.
And Martin keeps himself.
Ooh, he's got.
He takes the whole Roman defense out, and he gains about 15 yards.
Wow, that's how he is effective, and that's why he was a runner-up for the MVP ballot to Demetri Kelly on the other side of the ball. He is so effective. His passing accuracy is incredible, and he can also run the ball with deadly implications for the other team. So
now Martin back with Reed. Hands it off to Alameda to Kidd. Kidd turns the corner, and he's going. That is a huge run by Kidd. Now there's a flag on the play. Looks to be about a 20-yard gain. Now let's see what happens here.
And again, one of the reasons prep is so effective is because they have so many threats. You have people going after Martin while Alameda has the ball, and then as people go after Alameda, Martin can keep the ball and still run.
Yeah, it's been Martin's had a monster.
Let's see it now. If a face mask on Roman can lead to a St. Joe's prep touchdown, it will be a weird turn of events in the first half.
Nice drive for Roman. Two personal fouls on the prep set up that touchdown. So now we have first and goal on the 6-yard line. Martin hands it off to DeAndre Swift. And looks like the ball's out.
DeAndre Swift fumbled it.
And Roman recovered. Wow. This is not what the prep had in store for the second half.
That was Al Frazier on the recovery of the football.
Roman is just what they wanted. Wow. So now first and 10 for Roman.
Wow, they can make this a one-possession game if they drive down and score a touchdown, which is no easy task from 94 yards away with this prep team. But
the way their offense has been going this quarter, it looks like they can do that, though, and very quickly, too.
What I think really prep needs to do is I think their second line of defensive men, their defensive backs and their linebackers, I think they need to step up and stop Patrick McCourt.
So now Demetri Kelly once again back in the Wildcat formation. And he hands it off to number 5, Pat McCourt. Gained a few yards. Give him some breathing room. McCourt's had a great game. A couple touchdown runs. That two-point conversion, he's been a big part of their success in the second half.
And again, only a four-yard game, but prep, they had him 2 yards behind the line. They just cannot tackle him. He broke two tackles and got 4 yards to make it a positive play.
Again, he's 5'10", 220, up a big boy. Hard to tackle. Now it appears Kelly once again. Hands it off to the court and picks up the first down. This is a story all second half here. Kelly handing off to McCourt, or Kelly keeping it himself and picking up the big yards. That's been effective for Roman this whole half.
But
it's weird because it didn't work in the first half. They did not have much success at all. 8 points is all they put up, and now all of a sudden they just prep has not been able to stop their offense.
I think a big change has been on the lines. Like Roman's offensive line split prep's defensive line in half. You could drive a truck through that hole that Demetri Kelly just ran through.
So we have a senior number 10, Ryan McNulty. He's a little shaken up on that last play. Demetri Kelly keeps himself nowhere to go this time. Anything, he lost a couple yards. Let's see.
Appears he gained maybe a half yard at most on that play.
So, here's still second and 10 on
their own 17, Romans own 17. 3:15 left in the third quarter, 38-24. St. Joseph Prep with the lead over Romans.
Again, the winner of this game will play LaSalle in the Philadelphia Catholic League Championship game next week. And the winner of this game is seeming to be not so obvious as we progress here in the third quarter.
Kelly takes the snap again, and he picks up some yards. And, oh, man, almost to a first down. Gain, maybe he might have even gotten the first down. Let's see. Here they spot it.
You're giving him the first down.
He did get the first down. Now first and 10 on about the 26-yard line. This is third. Maybe even 27-yard line. This is a great drive for Roman. What was on their own 6-yard line, no room for error, and now they've turned it 21 yards, and now they look like they're poised for another touchdown drive.
It appears Roman's offense has taken a page out of the Preps playbook here, where they have a couple effective running weapons where they need attention to both men and allowing Demetri Kelly to break loose there for a first down.
Kelly keeps it again, picks up about 4 yards. I mean, four yards, that's still a good run.
It is. Anything more than 3 yards in football is a success if you're on the offensive side of the ball.
Exactly. Prep did not feel battling for these four-yard runs. All those times coming off the clock, they're only down by 2 touchdowns, and there's still 2 minutes left in the third quarter, so they really need to just get one big hit or one big play where they get a huge loss, and that makes Roman have to throw the ball. I don't even know if they've done a pass play all second half. Everything's been a run, I think.
Yeah, with the prep secondary being what it is and Patrick McCourt having the success that he has through battling through this line, I would not pass the ball either if I was Roman.
Another thing that I'm noticing is the prep seems like their defense seems like it's getting tired. Roman's been going with a quick-paced offense. Prep has no answer. That's why Roman's put up 16 points already in the third quarter and threatening to put up even more.
Yeah, and you see that Roman has kind of a mix of standard offense and a hurry-up offense. Because they're in the huddle, but they're never in the huddle for long, maybe 3 or 4 seconds they're in the huddle, and then they're right on the line of scrimmage, and they're snapping the ball.
We have first and 10 on Roman's own 39. Kelly, once again, time he heads it off to number 3, John Chaney, who's a junior, 5'9", 185 pounds, picks up about 2 yards.
Yeah, John Chaney on that play, it appears he could have got at least a couple more yards, but he bobbled the exchange between Demetri Kelly and himself.
Ball's on the 42-yard line, 2nd and 7.
Roman making substitutions. Donald McHales is coming into the game. And as we see, Hezekiah Trahan exiting the game. Roman runs up to the line here.
Now we have number 16, Brendan Reagan, back in QB position. Takes the snap. Roman, they were about to do a pass, but I was surprised if Brett couldn't have done any passes in the whole half. But there was a penalty, so let's see what that was.
Ball start on Roman.
2nd and 12, 37-yard line. 48 seconds left in the third quarter. 38-24. St. Joe's Prep over Roman once again. Gus Melissa alongside Jack Rayner, part of the SJC Student Broadcasting Club.
And one of Roman's really their only offensive mistake this half, besides the fumble, which actually wound up benefiting them in the end. But they've been flawless on offense before that false start penalty.
And the Prep, meanwhile, had a couple. They had 2 personal fouls on a couple drives ago. So Kelly keeps himself, picks up about 5.
Wow, and again, Roman's offensive line is just having their way with the young Prep offensive line, the defensive line. They are just splitting them apart and just giving a five-yard hole for any runner at any given time to run through.
Yeah, Roman's got a big offensive line. Yeah, Gavin Wiggins, 6'3", 250. Philip Thorne, 6'4", 250. I mean, that's just across the board, 250 about. That's the end of the third quarter, 38-24, leading Roman.
And as we come back to you at the end of the third quarter, we are going to have one of the biggest third down plays of the game. Signing off from you guys is Jack. I'm Jack Rayner. Thank you guys for tonight, and I'll see you next week.
Well, gentlemen, thank you very much. Tremendous job. But what is it? You take the mic and suddenly the other guys get all the momentum. Is that the deal?
I'm just joking. Great job, Justin De La Rosa and Jack Trainer, two guys who have joined the club and done a tremendous job as the first people to do a combination play-by-play and color commentary. And looking at Justin's face right now, I think he sees how it's tiring, isn't it, Justin? No, he's shaking his head. So joining me now, junior or senior, Alex?
Senior.
Senior. Senior Alex Beck. You just watched that third quarter same way I did, in disbelief. Am I right?
Yeah, they came out same way they did against LaSalle. They played with no passion. They got as you see, Tom Johnson, captain junior, he's out there. He's trying to fire up the guys, get them ready to go in this fourth quarter.
Well, they certainly need it because they're up 38-8. Now it's 38-24, and the two-touchdown lead is not enough at this point because they need a lot more. There's no question about it. So we're looking at a third down and 7. The ball is snapped deep, and it's going to be not enough for a first down. Looks like the ball carrier, and they have gone to this Wildcat-style offense. Dimitri Kelly has the ball. He gets the ball on the snap and moves forward. It's fourth down and 3 now for Roman. And, you know, they Brendan Regan is not even on the field anymore,
yeah,
their quarterback, so you know they're not going to pass at all.
Yeah, and the Preps struggling to get the tackle. Every time they hit them, they're breaking tackles. They're getting downfield again, a couple extra yards. This is a big, big fourth down here for St. Joseph. They can stop them right here.
This is the play of the game so far for St. Joseph's Prep. It is fourth down and 3. Ball at the 47.
Oh, the ball is snapped. Fumble.
Nick Vanderveer. Nick Vanderbilt falls on the ball at the 41-yard line at Roman, and if ever there was a time for Roman to make a mistake, that was not it.
I think that snap was supposed to, it looked like it was supposed to go to McCord. It was way not even near Dimitri Kelly.
It is possible that given the fact that they snapped the ball to Reagan, Kelly, McCord, Cheney and Al Frazier, that
yeah,
there's a little confusion out there. However, they've been so effective. I'm almost stunned that happened. This gives Chris Martin a chance with the ball first and 10 at the 41 to give the Prep a little breathing room. He hands the ball off to DeAndre Swift, who spurts up for about 4.5 yards, and that's key right there. Swift getting the handoff,
yeah,
Swift getting a chance to redeem himself and get his confidence back.
Coach Infante showing his huge trust in the freshman as he just fumbled, had a crucial fumble there in the red zone. And he's showing his trust. I think Jim Bell is back with Chris Martin now.
So Martin goes up, talks to Ed Mooney, says, here's where I want it, here's how I want it. Bell switches over to the right side. He's on Martin's right. We are going from our right to our left. And there's the pass to McAllister, who drops the ball. They saw that isolation again, the same thing that worked twice in the first half. This time the pass is a little short, but McAllister should have had that
ball.
Yeah,
I think DeAndre Swift was a better option there. He was he was parallel to McAllister with no one in front of him.
It's the same mano-a-mano defense, and McAllister had Charles White beaten down the right side, but Martin did not stretch the pass out quite far enough. So it's third down and 6 now. Ball at the 37-yard line. Martin again going up to Mooney and recalibrating with his offensive line. Vince Moffitt shifts from the right to the left. Martin back to pass. He looks, not much time. He goes deep to McAllister, and it's knocked down. Not a good pass.
McAllister had him beat again.
Good defense by Charles White, who played the ball instead of playing the man, and Martin did not throw that ball deep enough, no question about it.
That's strange. Martin's had a tremendous game with his passes, and that these past two passes just a little bit short. Juwan seems to outrun the passes.
So here we're looking at fourth down now and 6, and I'm trying to figure out exactly what's going to happen here. Now, Walsh is going to punt, but that kind of surprises me a little bit. We'll see what he does. He's probably going to kick it away from the return man. Kelly is back, and he's going to let the ball go, and the Prep manages to down the ball at what's going to be, I think they're going to put it at the 11-yard line. They're going to mark it at the 11-yard line. It went down to about the 8, but they're going to mark it at the 11, and I guess that's not a bad finish, but I tell you, they needed to score there, in my opinion.
It would have been a huge confidence boost to the defense, give them a little bit of breathing. John Runyon and Steve Robinson have been playing both ways this game to deal with Pat McCourt, and they just look tired.
Rich Hinkles along with Alex Beck here with 10:24 to go in this Catholic League semifinal game. A little while ago, we were all talking about how fast this game was going to go and running clocks and all these other things. That was when it was 38-8. Now it's 38-24, the prep over Roman, and Roman moving the ball when they run the ball. And now they run it one more time. It goes up the middle. Looks like Kelly has the ball, I believe. McCourt was leading the blocking, and that offensive line, Gavin Wiggins, Philip Forens, Frank Ramol, Ian Ewing, Mike Joyce, they have just been a tidal wave that the prep defensive line has not been able to slow down here.
If Pat McCourt, all 220 pounds of him, has been used to full effect here for Roman's offense.
Second down, three, maybe four. They're in the same situation. They've got the backs out back. They do not have their quarterback in the game. The snap this time. One more time. Oh, my, there's a wide-open space. Great tackle by Vince Moffitt. However, as Dimitri Kelly goes over the right side, he could have gotten on a bike and ridden all the way down to the end zone. He had so much room to operate.
I think that that's a big tackle by Moffitt. Kelly looks a little bit tired. He's been playing quarterback since they've taken out Regan. He just looks a little bit winded, I think. He was a little bit rusty. He couldn't be able to break that all the way.
Well, he certainly broke it. I think he was so stunned he had that much room to roam that he had to stop and maybe take a Polaroid or something to know that he was really in the reality at the time. So here's another first down play, and it's McCourt up the middle. And, oh, my gosh, they stopped him. They actually stopped him. That's Sean Harris, Nick Vandeveer, and who else is in on that tackle? Jake Strain also in there. And they only got one yard on that play. That's not what's been typical of this second
half.
They
finally got a hit, and they finally, like, they wrapped him up. They've been low on their shoulder, not wrapping up the running back. And wrapping up Pat McCourt's going to be crucial these final 8:55 to go.
That's right. Inside 9 minutes, second down and nine. And I'm going to say this out front. A lot of the prep students left when it was 38-8. And they are missing what is getting to be a real nail-biter at this point. Roman hands the ball off over the left-hand side again. And it's Kelly one more time. He only gets a yard. It's possible, and I hate to do this because you jinx yourself sometimes, it's possible that Roman's running out of gas.
I think so. I mean, they haven't thrown the ball all second half. I mean, running the ball every single time. Kelly's getting winded back there. I think McCourt's probably getting winded. He's probably haven't seen this much action all season long.
Now, Brendan Regan is their typical quarterback. He has not been on the field with the exception of maybe three plays in the second half. So in the Wildcat, one more time, it looks like Kelly, he gets the ball, he squirts loose, almost breaks free, but not quite. Gets tackled at the 48-yard line. And guess who's in on the tackle there but John Runyon. So the offensive line is now playing the defensive line, and that it might be having an effect on the offense.
I think that they're trying to plug up the run, and they're trying to get all the big bodies with Steve Robinson, Shane Davis there, John Runyon was on the tackle. Our defensive line's been unable to get a push this second half.
So it's fourth down and a long two, maybe three. Again, another clutch effort here. It's got to be done right. They've got to stop them from getting this first down. The snap to Kelly. Kelly, all depends on the spot. He got over the 50, but Alex,
I don't know.
It all depends on that spot.
Where he's spotting it, I think they might be a little short. So they're going to have to pull up the change for this one.
They're going to have to pull up the change. There's no question. Set the stage. 7:21 to go. The prep leading Roman 38-24. It was 38-8. Rich Hinkle's giving you the play-by-play. Alex Beck, you said a junior, right?
Senior.
A senior. I get this straight. He's new to the club, the Student Broadcasting Club. You're listening to WSJP, Student Broadcasting Club of St. Joseph's Prep. A pleasure to bring you this Catholic League semifinal game from Plymouth White Marsh High School in Plymouth Meeting, Pennsylvania. Colonial Stadium is the stage, and it has been a great game in the last half an hour. The first half looked to be a blowout, but it has been anything but that in the second half from late in the second half onward. Roman has found their secret weapon, which is the running game. And now they stretch the chains to see if they were able to get the first down, and the prep is hold. They have off that onrush.
That's a huge play for the prep defense. Give Chris Martin another shot here. I think that he's going to take this drive personally. I think he's going to have a couple quarterback keepers, get him down the field, and get a touchdown here.
I would be very surprised if John Reed is not involved in this as well, and Vince Moffitt. I think Moffitt being the senior, they're going to give him the ball.
The maturity of this offense is going to be key here. They need to make sure they take some time off the clock. They need to make sure they run the offense.
Look at Gabe Infante, folks. The prep is going from our right to our left, and so is Gabe Infante with his hands over his head, pacing the sidelines between the 30 and the 40. Whatever he's hearing on his headsets, he's not liking it, I don't think. Head off to Illuminati. Illuminati is the key to first through the line. Touchdown, St. Joseph's Prep. And just like that, Alex Beck. 44-24, the Prep.
And we were both wrong there, Mr. Hankles. We thought for sure it was going to be Moffitt, Reed, or Martin, and they give it to Lyman, and he just breaks open straight downfield for the touchdown.
Well, they went over the right side of that offensive line, and I tell you, that's Steve Robinson, Mark Ehrlich, and Ed Mooney, and you have to think to yourself that they probably said, go behind us. We're going to make this happen.
Steve Robinson told me during the week that he was really pumped up for this game. Really want to get back on that field and show that Ryan loss was not characteristic of this team.
So Walsh comes in, kicks the extra point, and perhaps we're back to a moment of normalcy in the world as the Prep takes a 21-point lead, 45-24. A few people breathing a little sigh of relief. Of course, that's not an easy one for the Roman folks to swallow because they were really closing in. One play, that's what you like to see. A one-play drive, 49 yards, and a rumble by Alameda Zacchaeus. 45-24. I have to think that the Prep is going to be duly motivated to kick this ball very, very deep. You've got some very tired running backs back there returning the kick. Dimitri Kelly, John Chaney, both back there. Now, remember, last time we played Roman, Cheney ran one back 95 yards for a touchdown. So they're not out of the woods yet. Three touchdowns is not quite enough when you're looking at a team that has proven they can really run the ball up the gut and break free when they have the chance. So here's a kick by Walsh. And it's a pooch kick. And it is down at the 31-yard line. I did not see that coming.
I think that Infante, even though they're tired back there, I think you want to give them a chance to run it back. And just give them the ball in the 30. And let the defense go out a little, only on one play drive, but they might be a little bit more rested.
All right, so the ball spotted at the 32. 7-11, a very convenient time for the Prep to stand up and play some really solid defense.
And here comes Reagan back on the field. I think they actually might be throwing the ball this drive. That would be quite a shock as they haven't done that all second half.
So the defensive core, the defensive backs, Reed, Moffitt, Dylan DeOlius, Rob DeSanto, they'll be seeing the ball in the air perhaps. Nope.
No.
They hand the ball off one more time to Kelly. They get 3 yards over the left side. I think they have to throw the ball, but they don't have the clock in their favor any longer. I mean, they could have run the ball earlier this quarter, but now they're three touchdowns down. Regan is back in the game. It's a good catch on your part. Kelly's on his right. We'll see the snap, and it's another hand. No, he keeps it, and this time he runs it. Doesn't even think twice, but he gets 12 yards, and that's good enough for a first down out to the 46-yard line for Roman. And they're coming straight to the line of scrimmage. No huddle this time. Hurry-up offense, ball on the 45 with 6:44 to go, down by three touchdowns. The Cahillites trying to push it up the field one more time. Handoff again.
David Delaporte on the stop there.
Delaporte is a quiet warrior inside the middle. He doesn't always get the key hit, but he's always in there on the gang tackle. And I'm telling you, late in the game, it's the gang tackling that saves games.
He's just like that in grade school football as well.
But did you get tackled by him a few times?
I was on steam, so.
You were on steam. Good for you. Well, at least you're on the right side of that equation, not the wrong side. Here's the snap and the pass out to the flats. It's to McCourt. McCourt tries to fight his way for a first down. Doesn't quite get there. He's out to about the Prep 46-yard line. Third down and one now, and yet another important play. And they're all important at this point. 5:54 to go. I have to think they've got to score very, very quickly to have a chance to really make the comeback complete. Timeout on the field. The pace of this fourth quarter, a bit feverish. I didn't expect the second half to be quite this high, highly paced or quick paced, I should say.
Here's the snap. Regan hands the ball off, and it's another first down by Dimitri Kelly. Goes over the left side. You've got to give credit to that left-hand side of the line for Roman. They have been solid as a rock. That's Gavin Wiggins, Philip Forrence. Frank Ramold is the center. And they're giving them running room, and when they get it, they take advantage of it. First and 10, ball now at the 42-yard line. Regan with the pass this time, and he finds the wide receiver out on the right side.
Nice tackle by Rob DeFano.
Eli Godfrey catches the pass out on the right side. DeFano, like you said, with the tackle, I'll tell you, he's played some good football tonight.
He's since senior night, he's excelled, and he's really making this very hard to throw against the Prep with John Reed, one of the best corners in the state, and with Rob playing as well as he is, it's just almost impossible to throw to your outside receivers.
Second and 6. Regan with the ball. He gets hit just as he's throwing it. Moffitt almost picks it off, but not quite. They were trying to wedge that ball into McCourt. McCourt hit his hands, but it bounced out, and it looked like Moffitt might grab it, but that didn't happen either. So the clock stops with just inside 5 minutes to play. Third down, 6, maybe 7. And Regan looks to be the guy on the spot now because he's got to make a big play here. I can't see him calling a running play.
I don't see them going to Reed's side either. See, I look for McCourt over the middle. Got to make sure that they cover McCourt on this play.
So here's the pass by Regan, and he goes deep, but there's nobody there. It falls incomplete. Clearly a misconnection. Looks to me like number one, Al Frazier, was the intended receiver, and he was not going down that sideline. That would have been a good play, but he wasn't going there.
I think Reed would have had him step for step, but I think there's a little miscommunication between Frazier and the quarterback there.
So they're looking at fourth down and 6 now. The ball sitting at the 38-yard line. Roman with one last gasp, 4:54 to go. They're down by 3 touchdowns, so they pretty much have to make this happen. And not only do they have to get the first down, but they probably need to get a score or get some decent yardage out of it. That's attacking the line in tight. Regan looks, stays in the pocket, steps up a little bit, and the ball is knocked down by
Vince Moffitt. What a play by the senior Vince Moffitt. He wants another shot at that championship, and he shows it there on the terrific defensive stop.
Again, they tried to wedge it to McCourt about 11 yards, 12 yards down the field. Moffitt looked to have him man-to-man or something like that. He reached over, knocked the ball down, and the Prep will take over on downs. First and 10, the ball on the 38, 4:49 to go. Rich Hinkles along with Alex Beck of the Student Broadcasting Club for St. Joseph's Preparatory School. We are really enjoying a great effort here by both teams. The Prep leading. Roman not slowing down. And another handoff to Levitt is Kikias, and I can't even say his name. He's going so fast. Down the sideline, he's chased out at the 18-yard line. Wow, Kikias can explode through that line.
He wants this game. He wants to put them up 52-24 here.
He took that ball to the 38-yard line and ran all the way down to the 18. And I tell you, 38-2 is a 50-yard gain. And he just a minute ago, he ran 49 yards for a touchdown. Zacchaeus might have gone over to Gabe and said, hey, give me the ball, okay?
And they have Sean Harris as a fullback. I have not seen that all season long. And I worked on that play. It worked on this one.
There it is. Zacchaeus again over the left side. He gets hit again. Good tackle there. Good tackle there by number 16, Brendan Reagan. He hasn't seen Reagan on defense a whole lot, but I guess when you got to do it, you got to do it. So he slowed him down and he pulled him down, and that saved the touchdown because he was going to score if he didn't get tackled at that point. So we're down to first down and goal now. Ball sitting at the 9-yard line. Prep looking like they want to get over the 50-point mark. That's a big, big number on the football field, Alex.
Yeah, I think that if two tight ends, a fullback, this is the power shift of the Prep. Going to give it off to Alameda here.
And he gets pulled down. That's a pretty solid piece of defense there by Hezekiah Trahan. He's been quiet tonight, Trahan has been. He's a big guy, and he's supposed to be the guy that they can rely on, but he hasn't done a whole lot so far tonight. Go ahead.
Here's John Reed. He's some strangled. I think they're going to give him the ball here. And I think he's going to be able to bounce to the outside and put the Prep over 50 points.
Well, there's also an interesting isolation over on the top of the field. Again, it's 18 on 18. That's McAllister.
and they throw two touchdown passes to McAllister, but there it is. It's the handoff to Reed. Reed doesn't get very far. He gets down to about the 9-yard line, but most importantly, he held on to the ball, and I think that's the one thing that has to happen at this point with 3:20 to go. Third down and goal at the 9, Alex.
It's a big play for the Pirates. I think they're just going to try to play conservative and maybe kick a field goal here as they keep the power set in.
They might even, at this point, go for it on fourth down solely to force them to go 90 yards. You know, who am I to guess? But I would say that at this point, they know that the offensive lines are both tired. The defensive lines are both tired. It might just be a stalemate if they have to go 90-some yards. But let's see if the Prep can't get in from here. They hand the ball off up the middle, and Reed tap dances his way around but doesn't get very far. In fact, he gets absolutely nothing. Part of me almost thinks they'd put Jim Bell in this situation. Fourth down and goal, why not? But they're not going to kick a field goal. I don't think they want to take the risk of a block. Nope, it's Martin. He's going to take the snap. Harris is going to be in the fullback position. Reed's behind him.
Trying to draw him offside.
Martin looks back, asks for more directions. And I got to tell you right now, we got 7 minutes before we're off the air at 9:30. So if this doesn't go fast enough, is it 9:45? All right, we'll have a few more minutes than that, but it's a good thing because it's 2:04 to go. It's a timeout on the field. What do you think they're talking about, Alex? What do you think of the decision is going to be coming out of this huddle?
I think that they're either going to give a nice handoff to him to secure the ball, or I think they might throw a fader out to Juwan. He has two touchdown catches this game. He can get up there. I think that if he's against Regan, I think he can definitely catch a touchdown.
So we're looking at a fourth down and goal at the 9. The Prep definitely needing to do something. It would be great to score on this play, but you know that I think the most important thing is they came back emphatically. That 49-yard run by Alameda Zacchaeus was no doubt the most important touchdown of the game. I mean, it looked like Roman was going to come back all the way. That was my gut sense at the moment.
I think Infante is just instructing his guys and the offense coordinator, just telling them secure the ball. They're getting it. They don't want to fumble. Oh, they're going for the kick.
They are going to go for the field goal. Well, that surprises me because they've already blocked an extra point kick. So this is a field goal from 26 yards. Walsh in to kick. Zacchaeus in for the hold. Hold is down. The kick is up. The kick is no good. Wide to the left, it would appear. And with 2 minutes to go, Roman will take over at the 20-yard line, first down and 10, down by 21, 45-24. Rich Hinkles, along with Alex Beck of the Student Broadcasting Club, a quick shout-out to Joe Krause, who's in China right now on administrative leave, we'll call it. He's working his real job, and we appreciate everything that he's done, even helping out in absentia tonight, getting us on the air. Bill Abingdon also here. He, of course, is the founder of the Student Broadcasting Club, and he stands behind us and watches an important night for our club and this Prep team. Ball is thrown out of bounds. Brendan Regan in, calling the shots at quarterback. He's the only guy who can do it now because they got to pass the ball.
They have to get down the field fast if they want any shot at scoring.
So second down and 10, 1:56 to go. I'm telling you, that offensive line really did a yeoman's duty in the third quarter and early in the fourth for Roman. I think they just plain ran out of gas.
I think Dimitri Kelly, he was quarterback for most of the game. I think he came in the second quarter and was running the Wildcat with Chaney. I think he's just tired. He hasn't had to work with all season.
I think you're absolutely right. That pass over the top there, it's Regan. He finds his man. His man is John Chaney. Chaney rolls off him out to about the 27, and another flag on the play. There's been a lot of petty fouls here, little personal fouls that I think are just showing fatigue and frustration, right?
I think a lot of feistiness between the Prep and Roman. Roman really thought they would be able to come in and play and win this game. I think they got a little frustrated now. They're kind of looking at the time, down by 21, they're just frustrated.
I'd almost liken it to a neighborhood spat when these two teams play. And when the score gets as lopsided as it was earlier, Roman got fired up, and that led to a couple of penalties on the Prep.
And one of the worst penalty, of course, was that face masking penalty. It moved the ball all the way out to the 50-yard line and set up Roman for a big touchdown burst. So snap to Regan, who's got another pass, and this time he misses his target. It's first and second down and 10 now at the 35-yard line. They are going left to right with 1:39 to go. This game is slowly winding down, but it won't be slow if they keep passing because that's what they've got to do. David Fonte still calling signals. You have to love the level of engagement you get from that the head coach here at the prep.
He's still enthusiastic. Up 21, 1:39 to go. He still wants his guys to go and play 110%.
There's that deep pass. Oh, it's not incomplete. Al Frazier had it in his hands. But Vince Moffitt was there to knock it out of his hands. I'm telling you, Frazier really should have caught that ball. Because Moffitt was a good place, but the ball was thrown beautifully.
Vince Moffitt, this is his first year playing defense, and he's excelled at safety. He's come out, he's breaking up passes. He has a couple picks this season. Played outstanding these past two drives.
Third down and 10 now for the front. And you've got Moffitt in the defensive backfield, Dylan DeJulius in the backfield. You got John Reed out to the left-hand side. He's mano a mano with his man. The ball's handed off up the middle. I think McCourt got it. He doesn't get much. He's got to be out of gas. And I don't care whether he's thinking high octane or low octane. He's got to be out of gas. Timeout Roman, 1:27 to go, 45-24. The prep up by 21. So let me ask you a question. If you're the LaSalle coach and you're watching this game, which I'm sure they are, what are you thinking to yourself?
I think they're gonna come out run heavy. I mean, they do have Kyle Shermer, his name first team All-Catholic, but he struggled against the prep when he came out past the ball. John Reed was able to break a couple passes. I think they go run heavy first half, see what the prep does, and then maybe run the play action from there.
So the question is, do you think they go run heavy because of the defensive secondary of the prep or because they've seen Roman's line really, over time, manhandle the defensive line of the prep to a degree?
I think it's a combination. I think you don't want to go John Reed, or Rob Sanders played outstanding. I don't think you want to go his way. And as you said, Roman's line's been able to get a push. Same last week with Archbishop Brown was able to get a push on the prep defensive line. Defensive line's going to have to come out next week and show that they're ready to play.
I think a couple of guys to point out, John Runyon and Steve Robinson, offensive linemen, played a lot of defense tonight, and you could see it. They got worn out. Here's a short pass. And it's thrown out to guess who? Dimitri Kelly. And guess what he gets? A first down. And Roman continues to move the ball. It's now first and 10 at their own 47. Very quiet play, but an effective play that garnered about 12 yards.
Ryan McNulty came up limping after that play. He had Kelly behind the first down mark, but wasn't able to hold on to him.
McNulty's been limping a little bit. Another pass, and this one is low, and it's caught, but not in such a way that McCourt can do anything with it at the time. So timeout called. And I can't tell whether it's a timeout by Roman or what, but looks like they're pulling out a couple of players. Face masking on the prep. And that's going to cost them again because that's 5 yards, but more importantly, it's a first down. 1:01 to go. So the end of the game, the final score is yet to be determined. The result is determined. But these are the moments where silly things happen. People get hurt. You have to hope that the prep keeps its head, you know, everybody keeps their heads on, right?
Yeah, I think that Coach Infante might want to think about pulling out some of the starters, not all of them. But tell them, you don't want to risk injury with a minute to go. You're up by 21.
You still got Jake Strain there and Joe Dumont and Armand Ware all setting up on the defensive line. It's a three-man front going after the quarterback. And I'm telling you what, they're making a pretty good run at him. And the ball is intercepted by Sean Harris.
Another penalty flag thrown by the ref. I think this might be another personal foul.
You have to give some credit right there by Armand Ware. He broke through his blocker. It was going to be a short pass to the left side. And Armand Ware really had Brendan Reagan scrambling. And off the field comes Sean Harris after the interception. He's limping. But I tell you what, the adrenaline's flowing too. I don't think he feels pain. I think he feels enthusiasm. And that is the most important thing of all.
A couple of people come up limping after the play. Ryan McNulty's limping. Strain's limping. Harris limping. Hopefully he'll be able to get healthy. for next week's game.
I think this game went a little longer and a little tougher than Gabe Infante really wanted it to go. No question about it. A 42-7 regular season win. This one was a test. And if they needed to find out how tough they are, it's a little late in the year to be doing that.
Yeah.
47 seconds to go. Rich Henkels along with Alex Beckton. It's going to be the last couple of snaps for the prep as they've got this game in the bag. Final comments, Alex, before we get the post-game folks in here and the game is complete?
I think that the prep did a fantastic job coming back. Yes, they gave up. They gave us their big lead, but they were able to come back and they were able to fight and they were able to win this game, get to the championship game against LaSalle. That's what they all want. That's what the seniors want. They want to get out there and they want to play LaSalle in that championship game.
And it looks like the stage is set for that. The last snap of the game. The clock winds down from 15 seconds now. The prep takes the field to shake hands with Roman. Your final score, 45-24. The prep over Roman in this Catholic League semifinal game. Alex, thanks very much.
Thanks,
we'll be back on next week, and you'll be with me, my friend. And we're going to hand the microphone over, and I'm going to let Bill Abington bring it home tonight, Bill. My mic's going to get to the post game, guys, and let them run it out. I'm saying I think we got about 10 minutes to close out and get these guys to give us their opinions. A great game by the prep in the end. I was a little scared in the third quarter. They gave up some yardage, and I think a lot of it is they just plain ran out of gas.
Well, you know, the prep seemed to not have an answer for that Wildcat. It looked like something that they just weren't ready for, didn't see, but, it was a tough, they made it a little closer, but again, Prep did win by 3 touchdowns. We're all a little worried because of what happened in the third quarter, but Prep won going away in this game and scored 45 points. But we had talked about it at halftime. This team has not been able to play 4 solid quarters and put teams away. So, always room for improvement. Coach Infante will work this week and get them ready to play LaSalle next week. So we have a couple of the students here.
I'm going to hand I'm going to let you wrap it up. I'm going to give the microphone to Michael Fleur. He's going to wrap it up with you along with Steve and along with a couple other folks, all right?
You got it.
Thanks very much, Bill. Hey, Joe Krause, if you're listening out there, thanks for all you do. We'll see you in 2 weeks' time, hopefully after we've won the Catholic League Championship.
Yeah, man. Thank you. Thank you, Rich. Thank you to Joe Krause as well. Rich did a great job keeping us on the air tonight and doing a lot of the admin work. Michael's here with us. A little sketchy third quarter there.
Yeah, a little scary third quarter, beginning of the fourth, but Prep was still able to put them away.
We were saying that it seemed like the Prep was not prepared for that Wildcat or something happened. Obviously, when you have a guy who's the MVP of the league, like Dimitri Kelly, he's a special player, but he really did do some things tonight.
Yeah, Catholic League MVP, Dimitri Kelly, scared Prep a little bit there with the Wildcat formation.
What did you see? I mean, as things were starting to kind of unravel in that third quarter, what did you see on the sidelines? Anything that you can report back to our listeners?
Well, press team was very quiet when Roman kept on pushing the ball. We kept on getting a lot of turnovers, 3 turnovers on downs by the prep defense, 1 fumble by DeAndre Swift, which we were 10 yards away from the touchdown, could have put away.
That really would have been a game changer. And this is going to happen. He's a freshman, obviously. I saw Juwan McAllister, saw some other guys run up to him and right away get into his face and say, don't worry about it. When you're a freshman, you need that. It's kind of seniors and juniors stepping up and giving you that kind of feedback.
Yeah, great leadership qualities by the upperclassmen.
Great. Michael, thank you. Good job on the sidelines. We'll make sure you're with us again next week.
Yep, thank you.
All right, I'm going to bring Stephen Bradley in. Stephen was on the Roman sideline, Steve.
Yes.
All right, man. Obviously, we were just saying, Michael and I were just saying, that third quarter was a little bit hairy for the St. Joe's Prep Hawks. What were you seeing on the Roman side? It seems like they got some energy.
It's like probably just by basing it off the first half, I could obviously tell that the Roman sideline they were kind of upset, and they were saying, like, we need to step up and we need to bring ourselves and make sure we get a comeback. So third quarter, we just saw the redemption of Roman, like, because they got touchdowns, and they were shocking the prep. People were starting to get a bit worried, but at least they managed to go out fighting, and they went out with some dignity and some scores.
And they got the 2 touchdowns. So, it was certainly, we could say, prep ends up winning by, 21 points. But, 2 touchdowns and an onside kick, anything can happen.
Right. I was, like, telling telling my other partner with the stats. I was saying, like, at the beginning of the game, it looked like it was going to be a big blowout just based off that beginning. And I was, like, saying, well, you can't underestimate Roman because anything can happen in the semi-game. So, as I was saying, like, anything can happen, and Roman still managed to get those scores that nobody was expecting.
And, you know, we talked in the pregame show about talent, and obviously the prep seemed to have more talent in this game. But Dimitri Kelly, Catholic League MVP, really came through in that third quarter, and he was a difference maker.
Yeah, and then we also had McCourt, and he also managed to give me a difference maker, getting those touchdowns for the team as well.
Well, Prep gets a victory here today. Now we look forward to a rematch between the Prep and LaSalle, which was the big Catholic League game a few weeks ago here. Prep went out big, was up 35-14. Two touchdowns in the fourth quarter for LaSalle, made it again a little hairy. Prep ended up getting an interception in the final minutes and winning that game. So what are you expecting from next week's championship game?
I'm expecting a big high competition game, just as the game a few weeks ago, just as the game last year. Only difference is it's time to make things different from last year. Last year we were so close and we ended up slipping. This time I'm not expecting that at all.
Anything you saw tonight that you say to yourself, well, I think, you know, that's going to bode well for next week?
Like, I saw a great play. I see Zacchaeus with these constant good plays, getting these touchdowns. I see Swift still doing his job. And I see a whole bunch of guys on the team, they're all working together and knowing what they have to improve on and knowing what they got to do to get the job done.
Great. Stephen Bradley, great job on the Roman sideline. Thank you. We'll see you next week. We'll have all of our student broadcasting club back here next week. And I'm guessing there will be a big student turnout for that championship game next week against LaSalle. We're hoping it's here. We love playing here. This is our home field. It's LaSalle's home field. But that's up to the decision of the Catholic League. So keep checking the Prep website. Check the Prep football website. We'll let you know as soon as we know a location and time. Tickets will be on sale at the Prep next week in both the business office and the Prep shop. So we want to have a big St. Joe's Prep crowd here next week as the number one seeded St. Joe's Prep Hawks goes to the championship game again against the second seeded LaSalle College High School Explorers. Prep wins tonight 45-24. I want to say thank you to Rich Henkels for an outstanding job on the air. Joe Krause in absentia, we miss you, buddy. Come on back from Asia. Hopefully we'll have some PIAA playoff games. So thank you to all the students for being a part of this. You listened to history tonight, ladies and gentlemen. First all-student quarter, play-by-play in Colorado, so we were very happy and proud to be able to make that landmark moment here in the Student Broadcasting Club. So for all of us here at Plymouth Whitewash Colonial Stadium, this is Bill Abington saying, once again, our final score, St. Joe's Prep 45, Roman Catholic 24. We'll talk to you next week in the Catholic League Championship on WSJP.